PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Every other secretary who's been here has been here longer than you, Alva. Everyone. And even if there was someone here who was here just one day longer than you, I still wouldn't ask that person to partake in such a miserable job as long as you were around. That's right, Alva. It's a horrible, horrible job. Sifting through old contract after old contract. I couldn't think of a more horrible job if I wanted to. And you have to do it. You have to, or I'll fire you. Do you understand?
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
Such shows contribute to a social climate of violence and sexual malaise.
In order to survive, we have to give people something they can't get anywhere else.
We live in overstimulated times. We crave stimulation for its own sake. We gorge ourselves on it. We always want more, whether it's tactile, emotional, or sexual.
Soon, all of us will have special names. Names designed to cause the cathode ray tube to resonate.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Oh, snap, guys. Welcome to episode 257 of Cinema Crespediso. I didn't even like build up into it though, Drew. Why can't I hear you? Because
my microphone is off.
There we go.
There we go. Turn on the microphone, Chris. Not like we haven't done this 256 times before.
Here we go, guys. Current threat level update is cyan. Current threat level is cyan. Collapse is unavoidable. With us, a returning guest, editor of Orlando's longest-running blog, The Daily City, host of Orlando's shadiest news program, Orlando Opinion. I love working with this guy. He's back. We're super happy to have him, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Baratelli is here. Yeah, Mark!
Yeah! Hey!
Woo! So much excitement. How you doing, Mark?
Good.
Nice
How
to see
are you?
You.
Thank you.
Doing
nice
good.
To see you.
Doing good, man. Feeling festive. How about you?
Oh my God, I'm holiday spiriting all over the place.
got that spirit all over the. Oh man, is that what I slipped in?
Yes.
On the way,
you slipped into the holiday spirit.
I thought that was some of my, I thought that was my own spirit. I thought that was some of the Christmas spirit. Have you enjoyed any? Have you had any of the Christmas spirit visit you lately?
What does that mean?
Well, for example, a couple weeks ago, my car really wasn't starting too well. I had to take it in.
I had to get a new battery yesterday.
Drew had to get a new battery. Merry Christmas,
Merry
Drew.
Christmas.
Merry
Woo!
Christmas, Drew.
I had to get a new battery. That was fun.
Car problems epitomizes Christmas, but it's anything along those lines. Anything that's bothersome or going wrong, or it's like, oh, of course it would go wrong now.
Of course. My cat had some fur lost.
Lost fur? Really?
There's like this...
Lost fur.
Well, like an entire patch just gone?
Yeah, it's like a circular... Like if you burned a cigarette into a cat's fur.
Oh, like ringworm?
Oh, what?
Damn it. I double hit the button. So I turned it on and then shut it off before it could play. Does your cat have ringworm?
And I don't know what that is. I know the word, but it's this... They just said it was infection, so they shot shots in it.
Yeah, oh no, yeah, that's unfortunately that's the Christmas spirit. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, if you start to,
bad time things
if
onto
you
your,
start
onto
to find any circular little red marks on your skin, you're gonna have to go to the doctor.
Yeah, go to the doctor.
Why not just ride it out?
because it's not one of those ride it out type of things. It's highly contagious. It lasts forever unless you get rid of it.
Okay.
It's a parasite. So.
Do you ever think about if you, like, get a disease, if you would just, like, ride it out? Like, just... Because you see people on the side of the road diseased and kind of with their face in the puddle. And do you ever think, like, I could mentally prepare for that?
To just let it take its course?
Yeah. And
whatever
just go,
that course may be.
This is reality.
This is the way it is.
Like, right now, there's things you probably just hate about your life.
Yeah.
But you deal with it. You're like, okay, I can do it. Sure. Like there, they could probably deal with some stuff that we probably perceive we can't.
Yeah, Chris, like, can you just, like, sit there with, like, malaria?
That's intense. Malaria is something that never leaves you. Actually, it's pretty bad.
Even without, you can, there's no treatment?
No, there's treatment, and you can get better, but you can, like, it'll flare up. Like, Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Post-presidency, went to South America on a big expedition, got malaria, got really, really sick, came back to America, recovered, but then for the last few years of his life, the malaria, like, whatever you called it, you call it like dengue fever, it would like keep popping up every few years, and you would have to, you'd be bedridden for a while.
Did he actually pass away because of it?
He passed away because of a broken heart, because his two of his remaining three sons died in World War One. So it's in part because of ill health, malaria. He had ill health when he was a child, and then he was intensely, like, heartbrokenly depressed when his sons died. And then he died in his sleep one night. Could have been sleep apnea.
That seems strange to me that someone would die because someone else died, because during that time, a lot of people died.
But intense stress, heartache over the loss of his children.
Literally a broken heart.
And it's been documented. You can't
it happens all the time. Yeah. Especially between, like, married couples.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? This is perfect. This is perfect. Cinema Crespedito fodder. This is what we do. People listen to podcasts, get away from it all, and we're like, no, we're bringing you back to it. This is the life. This is us.
whatever that is.
Whatever it is. Face it. Merry Christmas, everyone. We are thoroughly in the Christmas spirit. And speaking of all that, Mark, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it, sir. Let's go ahead and get Mark involved with the streaming pick of the week.
Like, how can you go home? How can you go home and decorate your tree after you see a homeless person face down in a puddle? You know what? If you don't get out of your car and help that homeless person, you're something wrong with you, not the homeless.
Maybe you don't help that one homeless person, but you do the help. You do charitable work. You know, I know people
to relieve the guilt of leaving the man face down in the puddle.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But what if you kick the man in the puddle?
Kick the man in the puddle.
Terrible. Well, you basically are. If you're not helping him, you're hurting him.
But what if the man in the puddle likes being in the puddle?
We have to. Yeah, that is. I have stopped and tried to help a homeless person here or there, and they like, hey, can I like, if you're at 7-Eleven walking in, or usually it's Wawa.
Yeah,
I'll say, would you like me to buy you something? And in my mind, I will buy them anything they want. Any 6 bags of chips, 8. I will buy it. I'm ready.
Yeah,
and they'll just say, no, I'm good.
Because they'd rather have money. Because they want the money.
Because cash.
Because they can get the drugs.
The good drugs.
Oh, I thought it was pride.
No, not because of pride. No, they want the money.
It's got nothing to do with pride.
They want the money. When I was in college.
I'm so naive.
Yeah, I guess you were, man. Because when I was in college. Well, I used to be naive, right? When I was in college. Mutual friend Matt Drew, he's been on the Back in the Show Forever, Matty J. He was on the two of us, we were living together, college days, and in the shopping plaza up the road from our apartment, there was a homeless guy. He was sitting like right by the exit where the cars drive by. He was there every day. He had all his stuff there, and I had a bunch of like extra bread from my grandma's house, like a relative of hers made bread, so we had a whole bunch of bread. I had a loaf of bread. I was like, so one day driving through the parking lot, I happened to have the bread with me, and I stopped. I was like, you want some food? Like, I give you, this is what I have. It's all I have. And the guy wasn't too enthused about it. I was like, yeah, sure. And he took it. He wasn't that happy. A week later, same guy was there. I was back there with Matt. There was a liquor store in that plaza. We just stopped in there to get some booze. Matt saw the guy, bought him a little bottle of whiskey. As we were leaving, he stopped the car, ran out, went to hand the guy the whiskey. His eyes lit up like it was a Christmas all over again. I was like, oh, thank you so much. So thankful to Matt for this tiny bottle of booze.
Now, wait a minute. Stop the press.
Stop the show.
I would have bought that man at Wawa a six-pack of bottles of wine.
You said anything.
If he had asked me beer, I would buy him beer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I guess he must have been a drug addict, the guy I dealt with, because, like you said, he was...
Either that or he was embarrassed to ask you to buy him booze. Maybe at that point it could be pride, where it's like, what, can you buy me booze? Like, I ain't buying you booze. Like,
I'm so sorry. I'm harping on homeless.
This is what we do on Cinema Crespedito. So we talk about all the things that matter. And then we take a quick break to talk about, for example, what is this week's streaming pick of the week?
Nope. Is that me?
That is you.
That's you.
The streaming pick of the week is Romper Stomper.
Actually,
just saw that on there yesterday.
Yeah, you know that's perfect because this is not a lighthearted movie at all. Romper Stomper is on Amazon Prime, starring Russell Crowe, and it's an Australian film. It's from Australia, and it's about Russell Crowe is the leader of a local gang of skinheads. And they are upset that their neighborhood is changing. A lot of, I think it's Vietnamese, actually. Mm-hmm. A lot of Vietnamese folks moving in. And the neighborhood is changing, and these skinheads don't like it. So it's that's what it's about.
I feel like nowadays, it's now the opposite.
In what way?
They say, like, you can tell your neighborhood's about to gentrify when you see Edison bulbs anywhere.
Oh, true.
So, like, whenever the rich white people move into your neighborhood, you're like, ugh.
Yeah, this is the opposite. This is poor white neighborhoods being filled up by the invading hordes, as you know, which is, in this case, I think it's Vietnamese in this
specific movie.
And so early on in the movie, like, they're terrorizing these kids that are just, like, rolling through, like, kids, like 20-year-olds. They're terrorizing these Vietnamese dudes. And they beat up one guy. And it builds up to finally like a whole head-on like war between all the Vietnamese people, the community, versus this one little gang.
This group of skinheads.
So they're on the run, and they end up living in a warehouse. And it's like a weird kind of rambling, shambling movie as they try to figure out what they're going to do for vengeance. They got to get a gun. It's an interesting, intense little movie. Very dirty, grimy movie. Everyone's sweaty or dirty or wet.
And it's starring Russell Crowe.
This is before he was famous?
Yes. It's like pretty much his first movie.
What happened to him?
He was just in The Mummy. He had a big role.
Yeah.
Universal Studios Pictures, they're going to make a whole bunch of monster movies.
Yeah, he was going to be Dr. Jekyll.
He was going to be the Dr. Jekyll, and he was going to be in all of the movies. Yeah. Like, he was like be Samuel like Jackson.
The Common Thread.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so and that was not gonna. It's not gonna.
The Mummy didn't make that much money.
Yeah, it's all down the tubes.
And then all the people that were working on
it got fired.
They left. Got fired. Left. You know, it's six of half of one, half a dash of the other.
Mm-hmm. Between my legs hangs your mother.
Boom.
Hi-yo.
Take that. That drop works for everything. That works for everything. Romper Stomper is a wild little movie, kind of grimy and uncomfortable and interesting, and youngston Russell Crowe being all angry and violent.
The name Romper Stomper makes me think this is a movie about like a serial killing drag queen.
Be a fun
starring Russell Crowe. Sure, why not?
Russell, well, he ain't doing anything right now, right?
Exactly.
Actually, serial killing, that's Dress to Kill, Michael Caine, and Angie Dickinson.
You are correct.
The Brian De Palma movie from the early 80s. That's when you really start getting the problematic stuff, when your serial killer is a person grappling with the gender identity issues, and that, you know.
And Buffalo Bill.
Exactly. Problematic, yes, very problematic. When the only trans representation in movies are as murderers and serial killers. And
I feel like that set the gay movement back 30 years.
Yeah.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, yeah.
I hated myself after I saw that movie.
Because it's a well-made movie.
It's so good. And the villain, and he's so evil. It's amazing.
And Ted Levine's great. He's very compelling as that character.
Well, and
but yes.
Every time I've seen him afterwards, I'm just like, oh my God, it's Buffalo.
Like, how's that the same guy? How's he even the same guy when he's
seen him? Does he ever work again?
Yeah, no, he's done a lot of work with facial hair.
Yeah.
And he's almost a new man.
Yeah, when you see him in other stuff, it's like, oh, it's shocking it's the same person.
Yeah.
But yes, then it's like anytime I see a movie that's featuring the only Spanish characters in a movie are gang members or drug dealers or pimps, I'm like, or Taxi Driver, in which Harvey Keitel is playing a Spanish guy who's a pimp. I'm like, first of all, I couldn't even get a real Spanish guy to play the Spanish guy. And then the only Spanish guy in the movie is a pimp. Like, thanks a lot, Martin Scorsese. It's amazing. I love it. It's so good. It's so good.
Was that the role that Harvey Keitel was first up for?
No, I think he filled in for someone.
I feel like I watched a documentary. Yeah. Asleep.
I think he filled in for someone who was still like another white guy or something. It still wasn't like he was filling in for like Freddie Prinze or something. But then even then, our problem was like whenever Benjamin Pratt's in a movie, he's playing a South American drug lord.
Like, come on, dude. Can't you play a teacher?
Hey, at least he's the boss. He's the drug lord. He's not just like one of the street dealers.
I guess. I feel like it's the 70s all over again.
It is the 70s, right? Your trans people are serial killers. Your Hispanics are drug dealers. And your whites are here to save the world. At least you're white, Mark. You got that going.
Your whites, that's all I have. That's all I have going. I mean,
white male. All the pretty,
they put it's pretty white people on TV. I just saw this this Archie show.
Riverdale. Yeah.
And I've seen photos and I'm like, oh my God. And then they've got the new Dynasty where it's a bunch of young, so beautiful awful. People.
I haven't seen anything from that one yet. But didn't they bring the Patrick Duffy back for that one? Or is that Dallas?
That's Dallas.
Never mind. Romper Stomper, check it out. Guys, time for Money Talk. Talk about that box office recap. Drew, where are we starting our top five?
Number five this week is Thor Ragnarok. Made an additional $6.2 million. Total of $301 domestic.
$301? I told you Thor would make that $300 million domestic, which is incredible. It's the third in the series. $532?
$833 worldwide.
Man, it's a lot of money for a Thor movie.
A Taika Waititi Thor movie.
It's fantastic. Fantastic. The highest grossing film ever by a Maori filmmaker.
Well, obviously.
Fantastic.
Uh-huh.
He's only behind Peter Jackson when it comes to New Zealand filmmakers.
Well, yeah, but
it's him.
Peter Jackson. Not Maori at all.
No, but he's a Kiwi. That was New Zealand. Yeah. I'm just saying it's a small world. Yeah. It's for New Zealand. Small community.
Well, it's a small place.
But it's getting bigger. Thanks to Taika Waititi. Thor's a lot of fun. It's so fun, Mark. First off, I'm pretty sure you haven't seen any of the Thor movies, have you?
Who?
Exactly.
Don't bother.
I think you would enjoy.
Thor Ragnarok. So much fun. Yeah,
it's a fun movie.
I mean,
it's just fun.
Just for Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum's in it.
He's funny.
He's a space DJ.
He plays a space DJ. Well, he's actually a space ruler, a ruler of a whole planet. But he takes the time to DJ at a party.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
But it's like intergalactic. It's Jeff Goldblum thing. He's fantastic.
So awesome.
He's great. He's in that Jurassic World trailer where he's like at a congressional hearing. And it's like life will
find a way.
Find a way.
Yeah.
Have you seen that Jurassic World trailer? The new one?
This is a very short one where they're just running away from people.
They tease. Yeah, they did a bunch of little teaser videos leading up to that.
I feel like Taylor Swift has infected everybody now. So now you're doing a preview for a preview. Is that new or has that happened a lot?
I've been doing that maybe for 4 or 5 years. I don't know if Taylor Swift started that or if she got that from... But yes.
She probably got it from them.
They did start doing, here is... a teaser trailer for a teaser trailer. So annoying. Yeah. But online. Yes, a way to generate
buzz. But it does get you excited, buzz. Right? It gets you excited.
People started writing articles every day. There's an article about a new Jurassic World clip. I'm like, just show me the trailer, right? And then they show the trailer, and it's just them running away from volcanoes.
Dinosaurs.
It seems very not thrilling.
And the dinosaurs are running away from the volcano, too.
And the dinosaurs are running away, too. And they all fall into water. Yeah.
And then it kind of looks like dinosaurs in space.
I hope so. We get dinosaurs in space. That's the next one.
That's sweet.
That's the third one. What were we talking about? Jeff Goldblum.
You know, they could. I'm sorry. No, they could do dinosaurs in space because they just grow them in petri dishes, right? Yeah. Is that what they're?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So they're going to Mars to collect something for the park, sure. Right? And they go, but somebody accidentally brings with them DNA, and then one is born on the ship. Oh, isn't that called Alien?
It's Alien, yes.
I realize I'm talking about Alien.
But replace the Alien with a raptor.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a raptor.
Space raptor. Laser raptors.
Laser raptors.
And what they discover, is that someone acts, they're trying to get away, and someone, as they're running, their elbow, sorry, hits a button, which opens the doors to Mars.
Okay.
And all that happens is the dinosaur goes like this.
Just looks.
It's like, was I supposed to do something?
Do you know what that means?
What does that mean?
He can breathe on Mars.
Oh, he's living on the surface.
Yeah, so he starts walking out onto the moon, and we realize the dinosaurs are from, I don't know.
And then the title of the movie is revealed, Dinosaurs of Mars.
Yes.
Something like
Jurassic
that.
Park,
something
colon,
that
it turns dinosaurs out, of Mars.
It turns out an animal can live on another planet without breathing, and then they become like they start building. We train them to build buildings, and
so they become our oxen, our chattel, our slave labor.
Chattel.
I gave it a French spin.
Chattel.
Okay, so the dinosaurs of Mars, they can breathe on Mars, so we're using them to terraform and to work. There are plow animals now, right?
Well, either that, there are work animals. Or either that, or the humans get back in the ship. They realize that they're safe now, and they go away. But you know, the final scene is leaving the dinosaur, and somehow it's revealed that he has one of the drops of this came up with it, and then he's going to have a mate.
Okay,
you know,
yeah, because he has to procreate somehow. How else are we going to do Dinosaurs of Mars too?
Laser raptors,
and then they develop laser abilities. That's when they develop the laser abilities, and then through time travel, they get sent back all the way. Okay, this all makes perfect sense. We're gonna work on this. We're gonna sit down. I'm gonna go buy a laptop, a fresh laptop.
Paper.
It's the equivalent of buying fresh paper. I'm gonna go buy a new laptop, and we're gonna meet up at a Starbucks and sit at a table in the middle of the Starbucks. And loudly discuss this plan together.
Sounds great.
Fantastic. Great, I'm there.
All right, here we go. Sure.
Number four this week.
Number four.
The Disaster Artist made $6.4 million. Total of eight.
Million. Okay. How many theaters?
840.
Okay, so less than 1,000 theaters for The Disaster Artist, a James Franco film starring James Franco and his brother Dave. Actually, it's really starring Dave Franco.
There's a lot of Dave Franco.
It's mostly Dave Franco. Do you know the movie The Room?
I know about it.
Yes, the epically bad movie. Mm-hmm. This is the movie based on the book written by Greg Sestero, who helped make this movie with Tommy Wiseau. And it's a movie about their friendship, how they met, how they made the movie, and then how its reception and all that, et cetera, et cetera. And we saw it. Drew and I saw it.
Do you think the numbers are where they should be for a movie like this?
It sounds about right, because The Room is known, but it's not like it's that well known.
Yeah, exactly. It's a cult thing.
So how many people want to see a movie about the making of a bad movie, you know?
No.
So I think it happens that it helps, in my opinion. I don't know, but Drew will let us know. That it's good. I think it's good. Drew, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps that it's a good movie about a bad movie.
It's a good movie about a bad movie. I don't think you necessarily need to see... I don't think you have to see The Room.
No, you don't. But it helps if you know where it all comes from.
Yes. Although, they do this fun thing. Maybe my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah.
After the movie is over, since the end, they do a split screen where it's the scenes that they shot for The Room that they recreated with James Franco and everyone. They show them side by side with the original scenes from the movie, and they play them right next to each other.
And a lot of the times, they're pretty dead on job.
Yeah, like really, some of them are like super accurate down to timing and movement and everything. It's pretty
His cool. brother's hot.
Dave. Well, then you should watch this movie because he's the lead.
He is so hot.
He's got frosted tips.
He's got frosted
and
tips.
A fake beard.
The fake beard, right?
Fake beard.
So fake.
Yeah.
So fake.
Not real at all.
Off-putting.
Yeah.
Off-puttingly fake.
Like, does the real person wear a fake beard?
No, the real person had a real beard.
A real person had a real beard. And then it's a plot point in the movie that he has to shave it later. Hmm.
So they put a fake beard on.
So he has a fake beard instead of growing. Maybe Dave can't grow a beard.
It's probably patchy. He looks like a baby face.
He's a fresh face. He's a baby face.
Yeah, it is like a baby face. It's probably all patchy.
Yeah. Can't blame the guy for not being a real
beautiful baby face.
Mark wants to slap it. he's good. Dave is good. James Franco is really good as the alien Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, he did a really good job.
You have empathy for this weirdo. I felt some empathy. You know, he's just an artist. At the end of the day, Tommy Wiseau is just an artist who wants his art to be heard, and it may not make sense if people don't receive it well, and then that could be a painful experience.
Agreed, but he's a really weird guy, and he won't answer some very simple questions.
Like, how old is he?
Like,
where is
how
he from?
How old are you? Where are you from? And where did you get this boat ton of money?
Boat ton?
Boat ton.
This boat ton of money.
Somewhere between boatload and boat and...
And shit ton. Fuck ton. A boatload and a fuck ton is a boat ton.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I agree with that. Something like that. That's like as much money as he had. Yeah, he's got a lot.
Does anyone think that there is a reason or a cause why James Franco went from hot guy to weirdo?
I think, okay, here's the thing.
Who does it help?
Here's the thing. I think he's always been a weirdo. I think at a certain point in time, he made enough money to be able to be himself and not give a fuck anymore.
That's a shame. Because you know what? It helps another actor. Imagine what other roles he would be in. Lead roles. Like George Clooney roles.
Sure, but maybe he doesn't. He's like, all the Chris's can have that.
He's not
the Chris
that guy,
Evans's,
though.
Chris Hemsworth's, the Chris Pratt's.
Yeah.
The Chris...
What's the other one?
No, I get it, but like...
The Star Trek one.
Sometimes it's fun to just be in the game and have fun with it.
And yeah, he likes making these smaller movies he with likes being Seth Rogen.
He likes being a fucking weirdo.
He likes doing the interview.
Because he's a weirdo.
Yeah, yeah.
James Franco's a weirdo.
Yeah, but he pretended to not be for so long.
Yeah, he did.
Acting!
And it worked. Exactly. Yeah. It proves how good of an actor he really is.
He was good. He was a good actor in this one. I like him.
Yeah, he was great in this one.
He was good. He was good in Spring Breakers. Ever see Spring Breakers?
Spring Break Forever.
No, he was like a weirdo in that, right?
He was pretty much playing this guy, Riff Alien. Riff Raff.
No.
Riff Raff or Alien? He was playing Riff Raff? He was playing
Riff Raff.
And he got sued. They sued the production of that movie for like ripping off this guy's, this rapper's likeness.
I mean, they lost, unfortunately. Well,
did they lose?
Unfortunately.
I would recommend The Disaster Artist. I think it's good. Not necessarily something you have to run out and see in the theater.
No.
But it's worth watching. Definitely. And you don't also have to see The Room to see it, but it would
help. No, it would.
I think if you want to see James Franco return to his leading man status, you should not see this movie and go rent all of his, or whatever we do, stream all of his movies where he was hot and shirtless. Let's get him back on top.
Are you thinking of one in particular? Is there a James Franco that you want to...
No.
No.
Need a movie?
Yeah. Like a performance or...
No, I just... I love those stories where like they reveal 20 years later that, oh, yeah, I auditioned for that role, but this person got it. Mm-hmm. Or I got this role, but I turned it down. This person got it, and now they're famous, you know?
Like or like Sean Connery turned down Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. It went to
good.
Ian McKellen.
Good.
Ian McKellen's awesome. He's Gandalf and Magneto.
Yeah, and Magneto. Yeah, yeah.
He's both.
He also turned down... Sean Connery turned down two movies. He turned down Morpheus in The Matrix.
Yeah.
And
Because of that.
So then when the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen came around.
He hopped on that shit.
And turned down both those because, like, I don't understand them. And then the movies went on to be huge successes. So then this one came around and it's like, I don't understand it. And they're like, yeah, but so you said about the last two movies. And he's like, okay, fine, I'll do it. Then it was a shit movie. Yep. So he retired. So I'm out of here.
He's the one who went on record and said he beats his wife.
Yeah, he doesn't beat his wife.
No, he said it was okay to slap a woman.
It was okay to slap a woman. You give her the last word, and sometimes she just keeps talking, so then you have to slap her.
Uh-huh. That is wrong.
And then Barbara Walters was like...
Excuse me?
And she was like, and you still feel that way? And he was like, oh, yeah. Gosh. She was like trying. She was like, you don't
wanna, he was totally unapologetic about it, too.
You don't want to walk this one back? She's like, no, nope. No. It's a shower for you.
Yeah.
Women need to be slapped.
Number three this week.
I was like, oh, I can't. All right, Sean.
Number three this week.
Scottish
Wonder.
Scottish Independence Forever? Yes.
Made $8.4 million.
Wonder, weird-looking face kid, makes Turn a friend. 100. That's what that movie is about.
Dollars.
It's 2017 Mask. Rocky Dennis.
But number two this week.
Rod. No one even cares.
Justice League made an additional $9.5 million, total of $212.
Man, Justice League, you know what happened at DC now, Warner Brothers? They're restructuring everything over there. Like, because this movie made not as much money as it's supposed to, like people who are in charge of the film division at DC, they're out. Other people are in. Things are getting flip-flopped around. It's crazy. It's madness. It's chaos.
I mean, they're just trying to copy Marvel, so...
And they're failing. It's more like this. At DC, they're behind the doors.
Pretty much.
That's what's going on back there. Yeah. They don't know what's going on.
Wait a minute. Every DC movie that comes out is bad?
I mean,
Wonder Woman's the only good one.
Yeah. Who owns DC?
Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers owns them. So, Man of Steel is... And some people like it, some people don't. People don't like Batman vs. Superman for the most part. Most people don't like Justice League. And
Suicide Squad,
most people don't like.
Is this Wonder not Woman's just the directors?
One person is in charge of most of those. Zack
Snyder.
Is he
gone?
Yes. He is gone now.
But he left for other reasons.
Partly for other reasons, but because of this now, Justice League, he's no more. He's gone.
I mean, won't Warner Brothers, if the next movie that comes out that's DC is bad, won't Warner Brothers want to sell it?
Well, here's the thing. The one thing Warner Brothers is happy about with Justice League, they do feel that the characters of Aquaman and The Flash were introduced properly. So they are confident in moving forward with Aquaman and Flash movies with different directors. They already have Aquaman's already in production. Flash is going to happen. So they don't see, behind the scenes, Justice League isn't a total failure because it's still giving them the ability to do that, which is what they wanted. But they don't know if they'll be able to do a Justice League 2 based on this format. Ben Affleck is probably going to be out as a matter of fact. Yeah. So what's happening is there's a very popular Flash storyline that involves time travel, in which he changes back to the future style. Something gets changed in the past, which alters the present, right? And that includes Batman doesn't exist in the same way. It's not weird. Even Bruce Wayne. It's his dad, Thomas Wayne. It's wild. So then the Flash has to fix everything to go back in time, Back to the Future Part 2 style again. And
back in time.
So they are for sure doing that storyline for the Flash movie. They could, if they do that soon, they can use that to then at the end when they're like, okay, Batman is back to normal, but it's not Ben Affleck anymore.
It's different. It's Heath Ledger.
Well, that would be amazing. That would be some shenanigans.
CGI faces.
They are talking about, this is funny, rumored to be the next Batman, Jake Gyllenhaal, who was in the running to be Batman back in 2005 for Batman Begins. It was either him, Cillian Murphy, who ended up being Scarecrow, Christian Bale, who ended up getting it, Joe Manganiello, who got cast as Deathstroke, and who was in the Magic Mike movie.
Why did Christian Bale stop doing this movie?
Because he just wanted to do the three with Christopher Nolan. And then when Christopher Nolan stopped it, he was like, I'm out.
Did anybody clap when this latest Batman was cast?
I think people shed on it mostly.
Yeah.
Whose decision would... Who would ever make that decision?
Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who... The director and producer, Zack Snyder, is the one who picked him. And you know what? He wasn't bad. He was fine.
He was a great Bruce Wayne.
He's a good Bruce Wayne.
Wait, it's not about Batman. His talent. It's about the likability quotient, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, you gotta look past that stuff. Heath Ledger wasn't necessarily that well liked before leading
he
up
wasn't
to Joker.
Disliked.
No, but then he did that fucking Joker performance. And
yeah, that's
good
the thing.
Lord.
A lot of people, I remember on the internet,
they didn't like him.
No one liked the casting, and people were like, this is gonna suck. This
he
is
was
gonna
like,
be good.
Screw y'all.
Fucking amazing.
And then the movie comes out, and everyone shits themselves on how good it is. So. You know,
oh, you're saying before the movie came out, they thought that he would do a bad job.
Yes.
But he wasn't disliked.
But he wasn't necessarily...
Ben Affleck,
yeah, Ben Affleck
is
pretty disliked.
Right?
Yeah, he's more disliked. Heath Ledger wasn't necessarily liked, but Ben Affleck definitely has baggage.
I don't know why you would cast somebody who's disliked.
Because
was he paying for the movie?
A lot of people are disliked.
He did come on as a producer for Batman vs. Superman and the Game of Thrones. Justice League.
He did come on as a producer. He was directing, too, the Batman movie.
And he was going to direct the Batman movie, but he dropped out as that. And now it looks like he's going to drop out as Batman entirely.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Which is, hey, that's it. That's the way the cookie crumbles there sometimes.
Weird, big, bulky bat suit.
He was a big old Batman. Because he's a big dude. He's 6 foot. He's like 6'4", Ben Affleck. He's a big guy.
They need less suit if it's going to be that huge.
Army Hammer was almost Batman
I think we're all wrong with these Batman choices, because I watched this old ass, like 1980s, 90s interview with Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
And he was nowhere near.
No.
He was 5'7".
Yeah.
But the thing is, when he was cast,
he was doing comedies.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was known as a comedic, quirky actor.
Exactly. So
you guys know. What am I?
No, but you're right.
It's like you don't.
But you're telling people who are listening. And when he was cast, you're right. People were like, "This is not going to work. There's no way this is going to work. He's a comedian, and he's too small." And Tim Burton was like, "Trust me, it's going to work." And it worked. He was a good Batman. He was a good Bruce Wayne. First off, he had lips in his boots. He had to do that whole thing.
But I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, it seems like Batman after Batman is tough guy, hot guy, sexy guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not about height, but just about, like, sexy leading man. Michael Keaton was not a sexy leading man.
Go back to Michael Keaton.
Just go into it. Yeah.
Find a Michael Keaton.
Find someone who's actually appealing. Michael Keaton was appealing.
Yeah, yeah. Because it did go from Michael Keaton straight to Val Kilmer. Who was like, now you're going for like good looks, like good looking guy. From him to George Clooney. And then Christian Bale.
Yeah, it just went from quirky normal guy
to movie star.
Leading man.
Yes, exactly. So we bring back the quirky. I think Jake Gyllenhaal fills that a little bit, don't you?
He's fine. He's too sexy.
I think Jake Gyllenhaal would be a better Joker.
I think he's a great actor.
He is a great actor. Still too movie starish for you.
I think he'd be a better villain.
Yeah. Better villain? He'd be a good like Riddler.
Yeah.
Or Joker. Even because he does those crazy roles really well.
Mannerism heavy type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
What were we talking about?
Coco's number one.
Coco's number one.
$18.3 million.
Coco!
Total of $135 million.
What's this one?
Have you guys seen that?
No.
We didn't see Coco. We'll get to it.
It's well reviewed.
It would make a really... I have only seen the previews, but that would make a really good parade in the parks.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it would.
I'm sure they'll incorporate it over at Disney. Because if it's making money, it's number one now 2 weeks in a row, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no Frozen.
Oh, no, it's not.
I mean, it's no Frozen.
Although, you hear about that Frozen short?
Oh, they hate it.
Yes,
20
they
minutes?
Yeah, the 20-minute Olaf short, and they cut it out. And then Disney's saying that that was planned the whole time.
Oh, screw
yeah, off. Like, look, it was, we planned to do a two-week limited release, but people hated it, and it got pulled. So maybe now I'll go see Coco. Now that's not there anymore. Because I don't need to see
I also that. Heard that they have the animators talking about themselves animating the movie prior to the movie.
That's annoying. Really?
Yeah, they're saying, like, we hope you enjoy this, we hope you enjoy this.
Just play the movie!
That's what I heard.
Like, I don't want, when I go see Ready Player One next year, I don't need Steven Spielberg to introduce me, like, I hope you like my movie. Like, just play the movie! I'm
he,
here already!
He wouldn't do that, it's Steven Spielberg.
I'm here.
He's classier than that.
Yeah, I guess. Alright, that was your box office recap. We're gonna talk about new movies coming on DVD. Detroit comes out on DVD. That's the Catherine Bigelow film.
I never saw that.
I want to see that about the riots. What was it, 67 in Detroit?
Yeah.
Is that Watts?
No, not Watts. There is a great documentary about the concert, the Watts concert that they ended up putting on. I think it's called Watts Stacks is the name of the documentary. No, this is a retelling of a riot that took place in Detroit over a couple days, several block radius, bad stuff. Home Again, Reese Witherspoon plays a divorcee, hooks up with the younger lad.
Oh yeah, with the and then
but then Michael Sheen, the handsome Michael Sheen, shows up. He's like, "I'm back. How's it going? I want to be."
Is there a celebrity older woman in this?
Yes, there is.
Who is it? The mom.
It's the mom from her other movie. She had a TV show in the 80s. Real pretty in the 50s. She looks like Martha Stewart. Like, she would play Martha Stewart in the movie.
But... Drew, you got a computer.
It doesn't matter.
What's the stupid
name? Home Again with Reese Witherspoon. Starring with Reese Witherspoon. I like Reese Witherspoon. I always liked her.
You know what I like about her, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't it true that she stopped getting cast and then she started producing her own movies?
Yes, she started her...
I love that.
She started her own production company because she's like, there's not enough good... Not even that she wasn't being cast, but the roles out there were pathetic. And she's like, we need better movies for women.
That was Candace Bergen.
Murphy Brown. Murphy Brown. I saw Murphy Brown once at the Big Apple Circus in New York City. She was sitting right there in the front row. Because my mom, when it was over and we were all leaving, my mom went, "Oh, that's Murphy Brown," and pointed out. And I was like, oh, shit. She's on TV. This was like in the 90s. This is forever.
She was still pretty.
Yeah, I think
She kept her figure.
Murphy Brown may have still been on TV at the time.
Kept her figure.
Yeah.
Healthy.
I mean, come on. She was in her 30s at her time? 40s?
Shoot.
You're right. She could play Martha Stewart, too, in a movie, couldn't she?
She could. Yeah.
She would be good Martha Stewart. Home Again's coming out on DVD. Kingsman The Golden Circle, the sequel to Kingsman The Secret Service.
Which was good.
The first one, very good.
Second one, never saw.
I found it kind of disappointing.
That's what everybody said, that's why I didn't see it.
Interesting use of a John Denver, too. What's coming out in theaters?
Ferdinand?
Don't know what that is.
Some stupid animated movie about a...
Well, they picked a bad weekend to come out.
And it's, I guess, voiced by John Cena.
Oh, sorry, John Cena.
And also, this tiny little movie called Star Wars The Last Jedi.
I'm
not sure if you've heard of it.
Something called Star Wars is coming out this weekend. Good luck to them. I hope they get the word out that people know it's a thing.
Wouldn't that be so exciting for a little kid who likes those movies?
Mm-hmm.
Christmas and a Star Wars? Come on.
Exactly.
You'll never forget that.
It's good for the kids. So
nice. It is.
It's good for the kids. I'm not a kid.
I'm not a child either.
I got
and these Star Wars movies.
I got gray hairs in my beard now, unfortunately.
Although they do feed the nostalgia, they're not necessarily all that good.
Well, Force Awakens is fine. It was good. Rogue One was okay. We'll see about this one.
I liked Rogue One more than The Force Awakens.
We'll see about The Last of the Jedi's.
You know, this kind of reminds me. So you're saying Mark the Hamill's. Movies are not as sorry.
No, I'm just saying.
You're saying these movies are not.
I mean,
not so hot as the originals.
The episodes. What's technically 7, 8, 9?
7, 8, 9. This is 8.
No, okay. So episodes 4, 5, and 6.
4, 5, and 6. Those are the originals.
The original three.
Star Wars: Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi
are good of varying qualities.
Mm-hmm.
The three that they made, that George Lucas made.
Episode 1, 2, 3.
Not good at all.
That was the Jar Jar.
Jar Jar's, yes.
I saw that one.
Okay. All of those.
There you go.
Not very good.
Misa, Star Wars.
The last one, bad. Episode 7.
Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Force Awakens, that was just a rehash of episodes 4 and 5 mixed together into one movie.
Sort of, yeah. A lot of the same plot points from episode 4.
So, I mean, really the most original thing that they've done in a while is Rogue One.
Rogue One, they made a war movie.
And then that was any good.
It was okay. It was good.
And it had, apparently, it was it could have been better because apparently the original one was a little bit darker. It
went through a lot of reshoots.
Yeah.
The Princess Leia character,
yep.
What is she? Is she called a rebel fighter, a Jedi knight?
She's a general of the rebel forces.
Yes, I mean, now...
Because she was a princess.
Did she free somebody?
In episode 4, in the original movie, she's a princess from Alderaan.
Yes.
But then her home planet is destroyed.
So what's her job title?
She joins the rebel forces, and by the time we catch up with her in episode 7, she has moved up the ranks to general.
So she's a rebel leader or something. Yes. So I saw a cross-stitched Princess Leia,
mm-hmm.
and there's words at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And I expect, if I see Princess Leia with the buns, that it's going to say Princess Leia, but it said...
What's her last name?
Leia rebel.
Rebel leader?
Rebel leader or something. Yeah. Like, it had stereotypically masculine, and it was such a great juxtaposition.
Gotcha.
You see a woman character
with a
neutral title. Should be neutral title.
Yeah.
I loved it.
She is a rebel leader. She's absolutely joined the rebel forces, and I mean, she got them the Death Star plans. And
she's not gay, is she? That character?
No,
well, she's dead.
She's dead in real life.
Yeah,
see how they handled that in the movie.
They should put her face on the.
She's in the movie. She's in episode 7 and 8. She's in the marketing.
Wasn't that like the big finale? Like. Oh my God, she's here! What was the big finale of Star Wars?
At Rogue One, the end of Rogue One was a CG young version of Carrie Fisher, which was very off-putting.
Getting the information that she was,
receiving the information that she would then hands off to R2-D2 in episode 4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in this new one, she's in it as General. What's her last name?
Organa.
Organa.
Leia Organa.
Leia Organa. Rebel leader Organa. Yeah. She's a badass. Mm-hmm. Carrie Fisher, also real life badass. She was in real life.
Yeah. Well, no.
Cool. Yeah,
she was a drug addict.
Yeah, I mean, beyond that.
She ruined her life.
You can still be a badass and be a drug addict.
Yeah, exactly. Look at Keith Richards. And she got pretty far. How old is she?
60s?
Yeah,
that's old enough.
She did pretty good. For the life she lived?
Yeah.
She did some hard living.
I think she was
a teenager when she did Star Wars.
A good sense of humor. She never should have done that movie. That ruined her.
It did not...
Like, emotionally.
Probably didn't do her... Yeah, it was also just a bad time to become famous and work
and
in Hollywood.
And
be young in Hollywood. But she was, like, a super successful script doctor and, like, behind the scenes did a lot of work on a lot of movies that people don't know about because... she was just, like, super smart and well-respected in terms of, like, what she can do artistically and... That was pretty cool. People don't know that. People don't know that the whole time. Oh, Princess Leia in a bronze bikini. That's all they think of her when they think of Carrie Fisher. But
I don't. Can I say something? Mm-hmm. I don't like seeing women dressed like that character at these Comic-Con places.
Oh, Slave Leia.
I see it on
Slave Leia.
Yeah, I see it online.
It's kind of crazy that Slave Leia is a popular outfit. Yeah.
I don't. There's something about that I don't like.
It's her objectified form.
Well, mm-hmm. It's just you can see the people. Well, that whole event is for people who want to be.
People want to be
noticed.
Seen. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
We all want to be noticed, but like it's like when you're like in high school when somebody would wear something quirky and you're like, oh, you're trying to. I feel like the Leias are like, oh, I'm gonna all the guys
trying to get some titillation.
You know, there's
going.
No creativity. Mm-hmm. There's no. You did ab work, which is admirable, and you did your cardio.
Yeah.
And you know all the guys are gonna oogle.
Yeah, you could dress as Forest rebel fighting Leia from the same movie.
What right about it? You could dress as a tree from the Ewok village.
Yeah,
that would suck. I would dress as
you keep falling down on purpose. These people keep lifting you up, you just fall back down.
It's like Timber. I would dress as remember Karate Kid? He actually went to a Halloween dance and he dressed as the shower.
Yeah,
that's a good
from Psycho.
That's
no, just a just deep a cut, shower. Chris. Is that a deep
that's
cut?
A deep cut. Remember,
yeah, can you picture that, Mark?
He dressed as a shower.
As a shower, mm-hmm. He's walking through the dance, and it's just like a ring above him.
Was he
him.
Naked?
No, but he's just like normally underneath, like just a shirt and
jeans.
He's
dressed as a shower.
Yeah. There's like streamers coming down from the shower head that's supposed to be water, and then he's walking around with the shower curtain around him, and then when he sees Elizabeth's shoe, he's like, "Hey, come in here," and he pulls her into the curtain, and then they can dance, and they have like some privacy.
And they're getting wet. No, I'm just kidding.
They could. Hi-yo. So she. All right, here we go. So it's. Hey, Drew. You know what time it is.
I do.
All right, I'll be ready. Are you ready?
Am I ever?
No.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor is in. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris, it's cold out there, so make sure you stay warm. Doctor's out.
Oh, stay warm. The doctor is out. We appreciate it, Doc. Dr. Drew. All right, let's take a break. Crespo Disco time. I got a couple songs from the soundtrack for The Disaster Artist. Pretty traditional soundtrack by a fellow named Dave Porter, who, he did the Ocean's 11 soundtracks and stuff like that. He's just a journeyman type guy. So a couple songs from The Disaster Artist soundtrack. We'll be back with the second half of the show with Mark Baratelli and Drew Cogburn. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Let's make sure this saves.
Yo, what's good, world? This is your boy, Steezy, coming to you straight out of the Trap House. We are pumping out two brand new shows a week for you, featuring the illest open discussion in O-Town. We love highlighting local Orlando talent, including comedians, musicians, artists, and anyone with beer money. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to finally know what the heat of the week is and not feel like a downright herb, download Steezy's Trap House on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher today. Get booked!
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Woo! All right, how's it going? Welcome to the second half of episode 257 of Cinema Crespo. So I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling with Drew Stick Hogburn. Drew, how's it going?
What up, dude?
I'm also hanging out with Mark Baratelli. Mark.
Hey!
That one popped. Oh, yeah. Wow. You also popped at the exact same time. That's what that was. You son of a bitch.
What did you say, Superman?
Don't make fun of my hair curl. How dare you? Where are my glasses? I'm Clark Kent mode right now. I'm about to report on the news. Second half of the show means we start with the plugs. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero 419 all over the internet. Agreed. Yeah. I'm not very active on the internet, so...
Get more internet active, Drew.
No.
Before they shut it down, you have to pay extra.
Even better, now I don't even have to be on it, because it'll cost extra.
Wait, why are you not on the internet?
He's on it.
I'm on it, I just don't really interact.
At Antihero 419.
All over the internet, yeah. I just don't really interact or use it that much. Yeah.
And on there. On Facebook, you'll only Facebook friend you if you make face to face.
If I'm met like you in real life.
With few exceptions, I'm like that.
No.
Oh, okay. I like everyone.
I deleted like 1,000 people recently because like when you're an actor and you're doing all these shows, like you're an actor in Orlando, you want to be friends with everybody.
Yeah, sure.
Podcasting at some point you can turn around and go, hey guys, I got a show with Fringe.
Yeah, exactly. Then we can all help each other. But then you, when you cast such a wide net, you catch some unsavory bits in there. It's like, oh, this is
it's not good.
Mark, where can people find you on the interweb? Where do you want them to find you?
TheDailyCity.com.
There you go.
And we're at The Daily City on Twitter and Instagram.
Very, very simple. Check out Orlando Opinions every week.
Yes.
Yes.
PFT Media.
PFT Media's own Orlando Opinions. A very fun show that we produce in which we let you know what's happening in town. In, I think, a fun way. And a quick way, too. Boom.
I'm calling it sassy.
The sassy.
On my,
it is the sassiest. The sassiest news program.
It's definitely sassy
in Orlando. Oh, it's so much sassy is coming at you.
I think that can be. You can be negative sassy, mm-hmm. and you can be silly sassy.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. 100%. Whereas shady is just seems to be wholly negative, right?
There's shade throwing.
Definitely shade
in
throwing.
In the sassiness.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the sassiness is the overriding characteristic.
Yeah. I think without you guiding the way, mm-hmm. it would just be nothing but shade.
Which maybe some people would like
no
that,
No one
though.
Would
want to. Hey, it's the Sunshine State. We need some shade.
Throw some shade.
Hey-o!
Boom! All right. I'm feeling. I took my joke pills this morning, Drew.
All right.
I ground them up and I snorted them, so.
Good job. Oh, my God. Let's see if
it was... You should try freebasing them next time.
Here we go. Is that what the spoon was for?
Yes.
I was wondering. I had to explain cocaine spoons to my brother this morning.
He was like, he was really? He works in a kitchen.
He understood immediately. He was like, don't just use your finger anymore. And I was like, no, it used to be a spoon. Spoons used to be a thing. They probably still are, but.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And you can buy little vials that have a spoon attached to the screw on top so you just chop.
Personally, I'm a fingernail, long fingernail kind of guy myself. Mm-hmm. Because you can get in there and get the whole nice fingernail full of coke and sniff it, but then you can also get a booger out of there. It's a good tool. It's a scraping tool.
Yeah. Mark, you could ingest cocaine in your nose and get a booger out at the same time.
You could do both at the same time. Yes, yeah. That could be.
That's, now, if you can make that in like one movement where you're
dangerous, so you could just be immediately cutting the inside of your nose and jamming
more cocaine
into your.
Darn.
That's not how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to get the drip if you just... Drew.
Chris.
People can email the show cinemacrespediso@gmail.com.
They can.
After they're done listening to Orlando Opinions.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about how short it is, people can crush it. They have been. Have you gotten there? I've seen a couple of notices online, a couple of notes, people saying that they go back and listen to every episode, because you can. It's only 5, 6, 7 minutes per episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really short.
It is. It's fun.
It's
to
really
listen.
Short.
It's good for car rides, commutes, car commutes.
I think you have to earn people's time.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, like you guys have worked up to an hour and a half or 2 hours. Like people know that you're doing a, you know.
Well, people get it. Yeah, they know.
They know it's your show.
Somewhere between an hour and 2 hours.
It can be. Yeah.
Depending.
Well, you know, and yeah, so I feel like you have to earn people's respect and trust. And when
we start getting the messages, which we are, of people saying, we want the shows to be longer, we want more, that's when you know you're doing good, because it's the old leave them wanting more type thing.
Yeah, that's when we'll know we're doing good, but I think, I don't know, we haven't even discussed this. We'll get back to your show in a
minute. Yeah, this is my show, we can talk about whatever.
But I think that the time that we lengthen it a little bit is when we both feel like it deserves it.
It feels
like a natural, if I go to you and go, you know, I want to try 7 minutes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think that always, in everything that I have ever experienced.
But we've done it, though, where you show up, it's like, I think this might be a longer one. I have 5 stories. Like, well, it's the end. Let's hear the stories.
Yeah, I dipped my toe in the water.
Yeah, we've done that. So it depends on the week and the content and what's out there and what we feel like talking about. That's the cool thing, though. By not saying, like, oh, we're doing a 30-minute show every week. That's a challenge. Yes, that we're not locking ourselves into finding 30 minutes worth of content. It's just like, this is what we got. This is it. And you know what? If it's a 4-minute show, it's a 4-minute show. Be happy.
Who hates a 4-minute show?
Be happy I got a 4-minute show. It's fantastic. This is great.
You can't possibly complain about a 4-minute show.
You listen to the show while you eat your sandwich. By the time the show is over, your sandwich is done.
Sandwich length
episodes.
Foot long.
Oh, that's a...
That might be six, like six
and a half,
minutes.
7 minutes.
Rim shot.
Oh, I hit the wrong one. Sorry. Wrong one, guys.
Rim shot about the rim shot that didn't happen. Yes.
There we go. All right. That's how you direct the show. That's how you direct the podcast. I like that. You got a producer in you, Mark.
I've had a producer. What?
What? They like that one. That was a crowd pleaser. They're on their feet. Like I said, email the show CinemaCrespity, so you can also email the network, pftradionetwork@gmail.com. Also, and I'll check out all the shows. We got the Scotch Good Conversation, Poking the Bear, Alex Moorhead from BYOCB, who was on the show pretty recently, was just on Scotch Good Conversation. That was a good episode. I definitely recommend that. I think we mentioned this last time Mark was on, but you were on Scotch and Good Conversation with Peter Von Zaborski.
A long time ago.
Yeah, it was a few months ago now.
So we recorded that podcast, and I thought, oh my God, I wanted to feel vulnerable.
Yeah.
I didn't want to put on a shtick.
Right.
I wanted to be honest.
You want to be real and raw.
And if you read the show description, which, you know, I did, of course.
Of course, you gotta read it.
Screenshot it. And the first sentence is like, you don't like Mark at first.
Why would Peter do that? Is that really what he did? I'm gonna I'm gonna check
something like that. It said like Mark is not very likable. he's not very nice, which I know to be true. I know that sometimes I do come off like that, but I was trying so hard
to not
try to be nice, but just to be like, okay, let's relax. Let's not be so tense. And
okay, here we go. All right, Mark Baratelli sings. These are Peter's notes. He sings loud and he sings often. At first, it's off-putting. But if you hang out with him for a little while, you're going to find yourself singing along at some point. You're also going to find yourself laughing, outspoken, in-your-face, irreverent, and hilarious. Mark is a great spokesman for Orlando. Blah, blah, blah.
Just hearing you say it out loud, he's talking about me singing.
Yes.
The singing is off-putting.
Yes. But if you hang out, you're going to find yourself singing along at some point.
You know.
Hey, singing's fun. It's better than what I that sounds way. What was mine? Mine just says, Chris Crespo was here. He was a dude we drank.
We drank. He likes movies.
That means he likes you.
No, is that what it is? What a nice guy. I did. You know, I had pops on that scotch bottle, the bottle of scotch next to you while you're recording. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I definitely was like, we're doing shots of that in the middle of the show.
I don't think he liked it that, because this year I'm not drinking.
Oh, really?
I think that was really awkward. Or it was really not awkward. I can't remember.
Peter's an interesting guy. He's an interesting guy.
Yeah.
Love the guy. Scotch, a good conversation. Check out Mark's episode. Check out my episode. Drew, you want to be on that show? What are you doing? Are you eating on the show? What are you eating?
Eating jelly beans.
God damn it, Drew. Chewing on Mike. Jelly beans, really? Really, Drew? Mark, this is what I got. That's what I've been putting up with.
Who the hell eats jelly beans? What are you, a 3-year-old black child at church on Easter? Perhaps? Did you buy those or did you end up with them, like the perfume samples?
No. They were given to us.
They were given to us.
That's exactly. No one goes and buys jelly beans.
They were given to us by Curtis Earth himself.
along with a painting. Have you seen the painting?
I have. It's beautiful. What is it? You just hold it one side, it's a naked lady. Other side, it's a
naked dude. Yeah, pretty much.
I thought it was here.
Yeah, it's behind the chair now. Yeah. I had to rearrange some furniture. Drew, good jelly beans. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you happy? You happy now? You happy, Pappy?
They're delicious.
Mark, I'm telling you. He's the producer of the show.
He's the producer?
He is the producer.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? Wild. Crazy wild stuff. You just saw he was
I just want to stay on everybody's good side. I'm not going to sing, so I'm not annoying.
You're not going to sing?
No, it's annoying, off-putting.
That's what Peter says. I like the singing.
Oh, okay.
Drew knows I like tomfoolery and shenanigans.
This is an hour and a half of nothing but that.
Exactly. Thank you. What are you on Instagram now? What are you on Tinder?
Now you're
Tindering?
I'm looking up the tweet for the Vox Populi that you tagged me in, motherfucker.
That's right. You can tweet him at antihero419. Oh shit, that's that sound, guys. Drew Sakai won the first award. Drew Sakai won the first award. Drew Sakai won the first award. Just like I remember as well. Guys, quick round of trivia. I think, Drew, this may be... Mark, you may be our final guest for 2017. So,
I'm sorry.
No, this is fantastic. We're going out with a bang. Yeah. Drew, I think this is it then. Yeah. For your head-to-head, Drew Sakogman, for the year, you are 25-13. That's a hell of a record.
Not bad.
So this week's game is called Original or Nah.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you the movie, mm-hmm. and you're going to tell me whether or not it is a remake.
Okay.
All right. Drew, I dropped my pen. It's on the floor next to you. Would you mind grabbing that for me real quick?
Wait a minute. I want to put a flag on the field.
Flag on the play. Oh, shit. That's the flag on the play sound effect.
That is... I can't tell you how funny that is. we cannot use... You must not... movies like Psycho, which is the same title. How would we know?
Ah,
right. That's what any kind of remakes.
You gotta know. That's what. That's the question.
You gotta know.
Remake. You gotta know.
Oh,
you
gotta
know.
Oh, that's so. I just explained the game to myself.
Yes. So if I said,
good job.
If I said Psycho,
now you know how to play.
And Psycho. Yes. So if I said Psycho, and then in that case, I might have to be like Psycho 1990, whatever. But then that would give it away, right?
Yeah.
So anyway. Drew, you won last week, I believe, right?
Sure.
So, you got to go first.
Who were you up against last week?
Last week it was, who was our guest last week? It was none other than the fantastic Chico. Chico.
Chico.
Chico is our 9-time guest. He has his own podcast within a podcast called Inside Chico's Brain.
It's kind of weird.
And actually, so if you listen, it's on the Burn It Down podcast. And if you listen to their latest episode, Inside Chico's Brain, I'm on that one.
So you're on a podcast for the podcast?
Yes. We recorded...
Were you on the podcast?
We recorded in the parking lot after I host a trivia at the Oblivion Tap Room. People can see me host trivia at the Oblivion Tap Room every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m.
Were you just on the podcast or were you on the podcast?
I was on the podcast within the podcast.
But not on the podcast.
I was on Inside Chico's Brain. But I'm not on the Burn It Down show. No, I'm not on the Burn It Down show. No, not that show. I'm on Inside Chico's Brain.
Okay.
Which is inside the Burn It Down show.
Okay.
This week's game, original or not, I'm going to name the movie. You tell me whether or not this movie is a remake. Are you ready?
Sure.
Number one, Drew, do you want a group A or B?
I was wondering how that was all going to work out.
Do you want a group A or group B?
I'm going to go with group A.
All right, group A. Is this movie a remake? Number one, Dinner for Schmucks.
Yes.
Correct. Number two, The Departed.
Yes.
Yes. Number three, Apocalypse Now.
No.
Correct. Number four, Vanilla Sky.
No.
Incorrect. Oh. It is a remake, yes. Number five, To Kill a Mockingbird.
It's not a remake.
Correct. That is not a remake.
I know.
All right, yes. Yeah. It's an adaptation, not a remake. Yes. Yes, Vanilla Sky is a remake of a movie called Open Your Eyes, also a Spanish movie starring Penelope Cruz. She's in both.
Huh.
Same role.
Interesting.
Dinner with Schmucks? What is that a remake of?
Of a French film called Dinner for Schmucks. French.
Yeah, that I knew.
Number one, Mark.
Wait a minute. That is not a remake. Yeah, that's like when they take an English show that was originated, a TV show originated in
England, like The Office.
And then they just copy it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a remake.
It's a remake.
Remake is like we're gonna remake Gone with the Wind.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Shot for shot. But just because it's from a different country doesn't
make it... doesn't have to be shot for shot.
Yeah,
The Departed is a remake of a Chinese film.
Exactly. Yeah.
Called Infernal Affairs.
Yeah.
They might have got the plot from it.
The entire plot.
The whole story.
The characters. Yeah. All they did was make them white and change their names.
I'm not offended by both of you yelling at me and making me nervous. And I will defer to your guys' knowledge.
They're considered remakes. All right, so here we go. You know, but you know how the game's going. Good luck to you.
Yeah, but I...
Yeah, I know. It's you have to get all five to win. At least 4 out of 5 to tie. Is this movie a remake? Number 1, Jaws.
No.
Correct. Number 2.
It is an adaptation by Peter Benchley.
Of a terrible novel, that's correct. Number 2, A Fistful of Dollars.
Yes, it is a remake. Correct. And is it an Asian movie?
Yes, of Yojimbo. Yes, Kurosawa.
How the hell do I know that?
I don't know, but you knew it, though. You got it. You got it. Is this a remake? Number 3, The Hateful Eight.
Yes?
No, it is not a remake.
But it's a genre. Is it a genre?
No, it's a Western, but it's wholly original.
It's an imitation of a genre.
It's a Western.
Is it set in the 1800s?
Yes.
Is this that director that's
Quentin
weird?
Tarantino?
Yeah.
But not a remake.
So it's a oeuvre?
It's within his oeuvre.
I don't know.
Oeuvre? Is this a remake? Number 4, Three Men and a Baby.
It is a remake.
It is.
France.
Yes, correct. Yes. And finally, number 5, is this a remake? Scent of a Woman.
No.
It is. Oh. Yes, there's a 70s Italian film called Scent of a Woman that they remade. I'm sorry, Drew. That makes you the winner. Well,
26 and 13, that's 66. That's
66%. 66.6%.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good winning percentage.
Just above failing.
That's pretty good.
Just above failing.
Ma'ams, would I, if I said, I Will Always Love You, would you consider the Whitney Houston a remake?
A cover.
Well, but it is completely
it's music rendition.
Completely different.
It's a
right?
It's a different
rendition.
It's
technically the same notes and the same words. Totally different.
There is a Nigerian.
I would say reinterpretation. That's what I would say.
Reinterpretation. Reboot. Reboot the song.
Reinterpretation.
There's a Nigerian film that just came out called Rain, the Color of Blue. With a little bit of red. And it's a Nigerian remake of Purple Rain. They don't have a...
They don't understand
they don't have the color. They don't have a word for the color purple. But they did a remake of Purple Rain, and it's called Rain, the Color of Blue, with a little bit of red in it, or something like that. And it's and it's a Nigerian version. It's a dude goes to a nightclub, there's a girl, there's a bike, and it's Purple Rain, but it's like not Purple Rain.
Is,
Purple Rain.
Is it Purple Rain minus the music?
No, there's still music in there.
Is it the music?
I think it's the original music. I think so. Maybe covers, though? I'm not sure how that works when it comes to rights and stuff like that. I don't know how that works.
Fun.
I haven't actually seen it.
I wonder what the rules in the Nigerian courts are.
Right. Copyright Nigerian rules. The Nigerian film industry, film community is just starting to bubble up. The Nigerian filmmakers are starting to get the resources to be able to make movies over there. Because the middle class in Africa is starting to grow. Grow quite a bit in a lot of countries and cities that people don't think about when they think of Africa. They think of jungle, they think of salt mines. Meanwhile, there's all these huge metropolises and cities full of actual people living their lives. It's like, well, Wakanda, it's hidden.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Do you know what? Honestly, like nowadays when I think of Africa, I think about all of the dead, the poachers, the elephants, the ivory.
The safaris.
And the white people from America who go over.
Yeah.
I know there's
the Boko Haram.
Africa, and they do the tours where they shoot the animals.
Yeah, the safari stuff. Yeah,
I just think about animals.
But they think of, there's actually like Lagos is a huge city. It's a sprawling city with
huge,
like shopping malls and stuff.
It's a metropolis.
Yeah.
We really need a TV show called Did You Know There's Shit in Africa Besides Elephants?
Yeah, we need a show called Hey White People. Hey White People.
That's it.
This is Africa.
Hey White People.
Hey White People.
And then like each week it could be different about Africa, about shoes, about anything.
And then people sit down and watch it. Like, I didn't know that there were dinosaurs on Mars. That's crazy.
Laser raptors in space?
That's where we got the laser raptors from. Okay. We need to do the show. So let's start with... What do you want to start with, Drew?
It's up to you, man.
All right, then. It's up to you.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world-famous...
Vox Populi. Populi. Vox Populi.
What you say, what you...
That's right. Here we go. All right, there we go. Vox Populi time. You see stuff, and then you let us know about it via email, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at Crespediso. And Drew Sir Cogman will read it. Drew, take it away.
Chris, we got a tweet from our homeboy Ron.
What's up, Ron?
At Noriko455.
He's the man.
On the Twitters.
On the Twitters.
He says, yo, Crespediso.
Hey, that's us.
I've been playing a lot of Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Don't know what that is.
It's hella awesome. I don't know what it is. Either.
Xenoblade. Are you, Mark, are you a Xenoblade Chronicles 2
totally.
Fan?
Totally. So, yeah. Marsupiram. Never mind.
But a question for you came up. What old school video game would you and guests like to remake? And what would you change about it? Give me your Switch friend code, fellow fans.
Okay, my Switch friend code.
Don't even know what that is.
My Switch friend code.
I'm such an old man.
Is 22 skidoo / fartogram.
Okay.
That's how you find me on Switch.
Gotcha.
I'm sure I'll remember
Do
that.
Do you want
next
mine?
Week. Yes, what's yours?
Shat Shat. 100 ways to die _ Lamely.
And Drew, yours?
I'm not on there.
That's a weird handle. I'm not on there, but okay, you can find Drew at I'm not on there. An old school game you want to remake as a game?
I guess.
Excite Bike.
Or maybe a movie?
No, Paperboy. I'd make Paperboy into a movie. And it's the travails of a kid who has to do the perfect run of dropping off papers, but his neighborhood is full of break dancers and dogs and people mowing their lawns. And it's a very busy street, a lot of traffic.
That's an odd movie, Chris.
It's an odd movie. What's a movie I want to make, Drew? Mark, any old video games you want to remake into a
movie?
Do you
know what I thought of? That Julia Roberts movie, Sleeping with the Enemy?
Yes, with... Okay.
So, this came in my mind a week ago when I was straightening the towels.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, oh my god, I'm that guy.
The Enemy?
Well, he straightened the towels. That was how she knew he was in the house.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know, when this came... When you asked the question, I thought, I would like to have a video game... Like
a video game based on Sleeping with the Enemy.
Where, like, you can make your own decisions, and you can go in this world. Because it was a really neat world. Like, weren't they, like, really rich? And then she moved to this small town to live with her mom. And even though she was poor, she had this beautiful house.
So you want, like, a Sims type thing where you're entering into a life and it's a bit of a mystery. Maybe someone's following you and you have to... That's an intense game that you want. That's real life. You want a real life game. You want a game but like real life. You want to live the game is what you want.
Yeah. Maybe like
that
those
movie,
glasses.
That comedy that's coming out.
Like the game?
No, what's that movie? The other game. The other movie.
Game Night. Where it's like the game but not.
So, oh, is this a scary movie?
No. Comedy.
Comedy.
Comedy thriller. Dark comedy.
Dark comedy.
Yeah, it's like...
Rom dark
it's
comedy.
Like, it's a rom... The com.
Dom mask.
And it's about people who set up a game situation. It's like, you're not going to know what's real, what's true. But then some people come and kidnap the guy, and I guess that's real, but we don't know. And then it's all craziness. I don't know. It's actually kind of hard to explain.
That reminds me of that Improv Everywhere stuff that was big like 6-7 years ago.
What's that?
Where they... there was a recent one where they took a subway stop that really looked like the Apple store in New York City.
Okay.
And they put the Apple logo on it, and they made people... They didn't make them. They just put these actors standing in line, and they got people to go in, which I thought really was a trick. But the good ones were like no pants subway rides, where they would fill an entire subway full of people with no pants.
Oh, like a flash mob type situation.
Like flash mob,
all of a sudden,
I gotcha.
Yeah, that was big for a minute. Like 7 years ago. What happened to that? It was like
people got lazy.
People got that and tweet meetups where I get the same
two
months.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Like, we're going to have a tweet
up.
We're going to have a tweet up. And
meet
then
ups.
That. Then people realized, oh wait, Twitter is a way to interact without having to look at each other. So then when we tweet up, we're seeing each other. And then that ruins the magic.
I have to say that I don't know what they were. A creatives meetup, but none of us were really professional creatives. And I would go, and I loved it because I would never have met these people otherwise.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But I knew before I walked in the room that, like, we had something in common.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you'd still do that, though. Just don't have to do it on such a mass tweet-up scale. Hey, let's hundreds of us descend upon
these
a public
like
square
eight
somewhere.
People.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
even that was like, oh my god, this room is full.
Nah, true. Yeah, I mean, but then that's cool to get a creative. Okay, I'm on this side now with tweet-ups. Let's do it. Let's do a tweet-up, Drew. You organize it.
It's not going to happen if I organize it.
I know, because you're so big on social media.
Exactly.
Do you know Perez Hilton just did a live podcast recording in front of his billboard, and about 35 people showed up, and he was thrilled.
Oh, really? It's hard to get people to show up to a thing, especially to a billboard.
Oh, yeah, it's a pain.
That's hard.
Yeah.
How are you going to get to his billboard?
Yeah, it was like a billboard that advertises his podcast.
And he
only has one of them.
That's impressive. If I tried to do that, I would be thrilled with 35 people.
Are your fans are mostly in Orlando?
There's a good amount of them. A good amount of them are in Florida, but they are spread out. We have international fans. Shout out to our fans in Ontario.
Yeah, we're big in Japan.
They weren't expecting that. Japan, Germany, Netherlands, huge fans.
You know, the Daily City it gets a lot of traffic from California.
Oh, yeah? We get good.
No, it's my email newsletter. Gets a lot of traffic from California subscribers out there.
We get a good amount of California listeners. I'm assuming.
Are these
LA.
All bots? Are they fake or
maybe?
Are they real?
I hope not.
Who knows?
I think mine are.
We got a big spike years ago of downloads in Algeria.
I assume
those are fake.
Yeah,
that was a bot latched onto our RSS feed by accident.
That sucks because you're just trying to do a thing and you want it to grow naturally.
Yeah, so this now you have inflated numbers.
Yeah, this happened to Daily City's Twitter. We have like 20-something. It's like these none when you go in, which I have multiple times, like 30% of them are not real.
You can look and see. There's a way to like run your Twitter handle through an algorithm. Like different websites offer this, and it'll tell you what the percentage of your followers are real.
And then you can
purge them that way too.
Yeah, I've not found the website yet that will actually do it.
Yeah, some of them they for $5
don't do anything.
You can download
nothing
this
happens.
Program.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, Vox Populi. Ron asked us that question, and we gave him our gamer tags. And Drew, what old video game would you remake into a thing?
I mean, I'd love to have like a Mario reboot.
Mario,
but more of like a real life, like a super dark one. Because if you something I learned recently, if you're reading through the Mario instruction book, the original one, you come to find that all of the people of the Mushroom Kingdom have been turned to stone blocks. And what do you do in the game of Mario? What is your sole purpose in Mario?
You smash blocks into tiny pieces to make money.
You are murdering the citizens of Mushroom Kingdom the entire time. And apparently Princess Peach has the power to turn them all back, but you just murder them anyway.
That's why you're looking for the princess?
Mm-hmm. But you're murdering them all.
Do you know?
I'm pretty sure you do.
That's what you want to make?
Yes.
How dare you?
Super dark Mario.
Why would you want to take something so sweet and make it so dark?
Because it's the truth.
Okay. I like your style. Mm-hmm. All right, Ron. Thank you. We appreciate it, buddy. Moving on now to what's next?
We got an email from Jason Dyke.
What's up, Jason?
He says, "Hey, guys. I saw Die Hard in the theater on Tuesday."
That's awesome.
"Man, I'm enjoying these old movies on the big screen. You'll remember I saw Suspiria in October. And since it's Christmas, I figured, ho ho ho, a Die Hard, we shall go. It was fantastic. We came to the coast, we had a few laughs. I don't normally understand applause for a movie, but I was down with it when the crowd cheered for the title card, Die Hard. And that music pumped. The way the story unfolds, takes its time, and introduces new interesting characters damn near to the very end. The good guy, the bad guys, Argyle, estranged wife, Takagi, Sergeant Al Powell, and his Twinkies, and the coked up douchebag who gets himself killed.
Yes.
Police chief.
Alice, his name is Alice.
And FBI guys, Rick Duckerman, half inside a manhole, and news guy finding the story of Nakatomi Plaza, the Asian Dawn.
Asian Dawn.
Time's fluid, yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers.
Love that movie. That was his review, just recapping things.
Yes.
Just saying all the awesome things in Die Hard.
Correct.
I saw Die Hard on the big screen at the Enzian a few years back for $5. They did a midnight, not a midnight screen, a Tuesday classic cult classic.
That's awesome.
And it was packed. Yeah. The place was sold out.
It's Die Hard, bro.
Yeah.
It's the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
And I wonder if there are people there who had never seen it before.
I hope so.
Is that it for the Vox Populi?
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Jason and Ron. You guys, speaking of California, both those guys out in California. Yeah. Shout out to those dudes. All right, movie news segment. Let's talk about the most important stuff happening in the world.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic
Caribbean
getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right, the most important segment in all of podcasting, the movie news segment. We're talking about those celebrity divorces. It's the winter. Doesn't mean we're not going to talk about beach bods. But first off, we need our Justin Bieber update. Mark, what's going on with the Biebs? Yeah, Mark, yeah. we need that Justin Bieber update.
Come on.
So Justin Bieber, much like Tom Cruise, was sucked into that church of the Nativity or whatever it's called, Scientology.
Scientology, yeah.
Justin Bieber has been sucked into a church that's owned by a quote-unquote friend who has got to be a 40-something-year-old man dressed just like a teenager.
Always awkward.
He has always done, he's done interviews, he clearly wants to be famous, and now Justin Bieber is asking other people to go to his church.
Oh, sad. He found his way to get fame. Through the Biebs.
Yeah, yeah. I think any time you befriend someone who is like less successful than you, you should always be afraid.
Always assume that they're wanting something.
They are you. Yes, absolutely. I've been through that myself. In the tiny town of Orlando, they blow smoke up your ass. Everything is good, and then they turn on you.
There you go, Bieber. Watch your back.
The
smoke is being blown up. And yes, we do have to talk about also the most important thing that's going on right now, which is Drew, your favorite segment.
This Week in Rape Culture.
Afro, circus, Afro, poke it up, poke it up, poke it up, Afro. How's that for
an
intro for
This
Week in Rape Culture?
Sure.
No. Are these music pieces new to you both?
Mm-mm.
Or this is what you play every week?
Not every week.
A lot, though.
But sometimes, in different,
so it's not a surprise.
In different contexts.
Okay.
Sometimes. It used to be a different one. Oh, I don't have that one on here anymore. It could be this one. All right, how about this one? Retake. Retake that whole, I'll cut that part out. This Week in Rape Culture.
Okay, so what you should
do, Chris,
try this new one, is you remember that commercial from the 80s? Raid!
Mm-hmm. The Raid commercials? Yeah, yeah.
But you can put a...
Rape!
No. Just it's playing, but just put like three layers of where it belongs. And so they're saying, you know.
And so they're saying rape.
Yeah.
That's production work. I can do that, though.
Oh, okay, no. Well, you can outsource it on Fiverr.
I can. Actually, yes, I can.
Yeah, you like Fiverr.
But then on Fiverr, some of them, though, will be like, but then it's an extra $2 if you want this or an extra dollar. They'll charge you more than $5.
You know, screw it. Screw it.
Just,
seriously.
It's $5.
I know, I understand.
I'm going over here to Five Below up the road. Do you want to charge me $6 for something? I'm going to throw a fit. It says Five Below.
Rim shot.
There you go.
Podcast producing right there, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Take note. This Week in Rape Culture, first off, apparently Usual Suspects back in the day had to get shut down, put on hiatus during production because of some Kevin Spacey behavior on the set, treating production assistants in a not-so-kind way, and maybe coming on to them in ways that we now see as something that he's done on a regular basis.
Mm.
This is part one, Usual Suspects, but they got through it. Movie still got made. Who was the director of that? Bryan Singer.
Mm. Oh, well.
Now, Bryan Singer was making the Queen movie, The Bohemian Rhapsody, with Rami Malek as Freddie Mercury from Mr. Robot. Less than a week ago, maybe 5 days ago, it was announced that it got put on hiatus because Bryan Singer was a no-show on set for a couple days. The cinematographer had to, like, start directing stuff, and then they were just, you know what, we'll just put it on hold, figure out what we're gonna do. Bryan Singer eventually got let go by Fox, and it was the final deal for his production company, Bad Hat Harry. So they have cleared out their offices on the Fox lot. They are done. And it turns out Fox was saying his behavior was unprofessional. Bryan Singer said he asked for a couple days off to deal with a family emergency, and Fox wasn't giving it to him. After he got let go, news breaks, being sued in civil court for allegedly raping a 17-year-old boy on his yacht. Or was it his yacht, or was it a yacht owned by someone else? Anyway, this...
Maybe it was rented.
It may have
been
rented.
I think they have an Uber for yachts now.
Yachtber.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Yachtber.
Was the driver of the boat on the steering the boat while he was steering the kid? Rimshot.
Ooh, rimshot.
You know.
Oh, that's the wrong button. Sorry. No, I think it was. I think he was borrowing someone, another rich and famous person's yacht, who may have had a predilection for a similar type of behavior. Like, hey, I need to borrow your yacht for this boy, and the dude's like, go ahead and take it.
You know, I'm gonna say some. No, I'm not gonna. Say
You're not
that.
Gonna say it. This is the place to say it. No one's listening, Mark. This is the place to say it.
All right.
It.
No. Okay, there's nothing.
Oh, he's gonna say it.
There's obviously pedophilia is disgusting, yes. And no one wants anything. But you know, a year later, you're 18 and you're gay and you're in the club.
The 17, 18 year old barely legal line. Yes, it is a weird line there. And
you are not a different person.
And then yes, and then not depending on your age. But then it's the same thing with smoking.
Yeah, no, and right? I'm saying I follow the effing law. But I'm saying a year later, when you're 18 mm-hmm. and you're in the gay club. The whole place is its victim. I mean, if you're, you see my brain how it works.
18-year-old Mark Barrett.
Guys will, you don't know what's coming at you.
Sure. Yeah. The thing is, you're saying a year, but not even a year. Like, you could be in August, you're 17, and then in September, you're 18. So then for 1 month, you're not allowed to, you can't go to war, you can't buy cigarettes, you can't go to the club, and then the next month you can do all those things. And then you're expected to just be able to handle it.
I think we're saying different things.
I think we're saying the same thing.
I think, probably. I think that... Sure, what do you think? If you're... I think that being put on a boat by a rich, older man
yep.
is nothing compared to what you deal with on going to the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you've sure, got sure, yeah, a yeah. lot of rich old men
yeah.
at that club.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying 17 is... No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about 18. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's horrible. You want to talk about sexual...
objectification.
And what's happening to the women in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I mean, go to a club. Go to a club.
It's happened.
It happens every night.
It's happened there.
Yeah. Especially a gay club. Creep.
That's
why I will never go to a gay club, because I am self-aware enough to go, I'm not going to be the old man in the corner.
Looking for the younger dudes.
Not even, I'm not going to be looking for them, but just being present. You just know, when you're young, you go, that guy doesn't belong here.
That's true.
That's wrong.
On a similar level, I haven't really been to a rock show in a while, because like a lot of bands I'll listen to, the turnout would be a lot of teen. I remember being 18, 19 years old and being like, oh, look at those old metal dudes showing up to the show. I don't want to be that dude. I haven't been that dude. I haven't been to a show in years, man. I'm retired from the shows, dude. I'm too old for that stuff. Because just by being there, you're like the creepy guy.
I think that you can only... I think you're allowed to be the creepy guy if you are like in a box seat with all the other old people.
In the VIP section.
Yeah, not the VIP, just the one where you pay extra.
Yeah,
to be the
VIP
box.
Section. Yeah, yeah, I'm paying
it's
to be in the
box. Not VIP.
Yeah, I'm very
you
important.
Pay for a box.
I'm paying for people to see me up in my throne seat. I'm above.
Is it just me, or have you not reached the age where I will not go to a concert because I cannot stand? I'm not standing in the throng of people screaming at me. I have to have popcorn machine.
Like I said, I've
and
been
15 other strangers.
Like I said, I haven't been to a concert in a while now. Yeah, yeah. I want to be
give him convenience or give him death.
I want to be comfortable. Yeah.
You're agreeing with me. You would want to be up in the VIP booth.
I think we're just arguing about. Yeah, but you admit now it's a VIP booth.
No, I'm just. I want to move the show along, and I'll say yes. It's a VIP. Yes. Okay.
You want to move the show along? I'm perfect.
No, I just feel like I'm dragging your show down into the depths of a gay bar.
That's where we belong.
There's nothing lower than a gay bar. Oh, take that clip.
There's nothing gayer than a gay bar?
Lower
than a gay bar. It's like the scenes in a police academy where they always trick the guys to go to the Blue Oyster.
Mm-hmm.
Is it always called the Blue Oyster? They always trick them to go to the same gay bar over and over. And then the joke is, oh, look at these straight guys in the gay bar. Aren't they uncomfortable? The 80s was...
Wacky times.
It was wild. It was wild stuff. So, Bryan Singer, he's not looking good. Not looking good for Bryan Singer. And not a surprise, he worked with Kevin Spacey. Sticking with rape culture, Corey Feldman.
Wait. I think you hid the headline. He came out and said publicly that he would do a project with Kevin Spacey.
depending on the project.
Did he say that? I don't have that story. Did he say that? That does not surprise me, though, that he would say that. What? Because they worked together in the past. They probably were They were probably getting down with stuff together.
Why would you... That Brett Ratner was doing that with that lady.
Yes, Brett Ratner. And, Brett Ratner's complicit with James Toback.
Damon Dash.
That's, you know, James Toback's the New York filmmaker who they shared a house. They rented it together in the Hollywood Hills, or one of them owned it and the other one used it all the time. They're all in it together, man.
Gross. I just say we blame the victims.
It's easier that way.
We're all thinking
it. If we blame the victims, then we can truly move on with the good white maid art. Corey Feldman claimed back in 1993, he went to the LAPD and he named... Oh, you're right.
I just shouldn't have snorted.
Yeah, that's fine. No one's listening.
Yeah, nobody listens to this
he,
shit.
He went to the LAPD back in 1993, did an interview. He said he named names. These are people who are perpetrating this terrible stuff that's happening. And then nothing ever happened, is what he claims. LAPD is like, he never named names. We would have investigated. If he gave us names, we would have looked into it. Some intrepid officer went to the old Corey Feldman files from 1993, dug through them, found a tape of an interview where Corey Feldman indeed named names. So we'll see if some of that Corey Feldman stuff actually starts following through. And he's like talking about the pedophilia of the child stuff. He was like talking heavily about how Hollywood producers groom very young men and young boys and take them to these parties where they are. Like, Corey Haim was told that it was perfectly acceptable for an older man and a younger boy to have a relationship like that. Really fucked up shit. Real abuse of power type stuff, you know, which is what it all comes down to.
Abuse of power. The police...
And if the police...
Did not investigate rape!
Who was in charge of that investigation at that time in 1993? Probably not around anymore. Who was in charge then that then just took that audio tape and threw it in a box and stuff? Like, oh, no one will ever discover this. Here we are 14 years later.
The nerve. He was a celebrity.
Yeah.
He wasn't just some average Joe.
So imagine the average people walking in off the street. He was a white dude.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the average young black lady walking in off the streets of LAPD. Yeah. Please investigate this rape.
Sure.
We have more important things to do, like arresting these black people over here. And then the LAPD denied it until someone found it. Isn't that crazy?
And they lied about it.
Yep.
So that means either they went and did the research themselves and saw, oh crap,
oh,
we're telling the truth, we're going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Or they never even did the research at all. Either way, they're wrong.
It's crazy. So let's see if they'll do anything about it. Let's see if they'll do anything about it.
I don't like that Corey Feldman immediately asked for $10 million.
So he could make a movie... That's not even, Mark, not even a documentary. He wanted to make a narrative film, recreating everything, starring him. What a sociopath.
What I hope that people don't feel like that discredits his truth.
That's the thing. You
know, it does. It kind of does, but like,
that's why
it doesn't mean that the things didn't happen.
I agreed. That's why it gets to a point where you just got like, Corey, just give them the names so they can investigate and like get the whole quote art out of it, get the money out of it, just...
Yeah, show up, say your words and get out. Like Sean Young. He is the Sean Young.
Yeah.
What's
Sean Young not saying? But since then, though, and the backlash and all that stuff with Corey Feldman, he's gone to LAPD and he's had meetings with them. And they haven't revealed what's come of them, but he has since, like...
It's like at Publix, you know, they're going to put out some bad meat until someone complains about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes police departments will do bad stuff or not do anything at all until you go in and complain about the bad meat.
Sometimes Publix...
This meat is sour.
That's right. Stop serving us sour meat.
Seriously. Green meat kills people.
Man, we got some good meatballs today, though. Mm. Not Publix meatballs. They're Mama's meatballs.
Are you being dirty?
No. Talk about my mother's meatballs. They're in the fridge.
Your mother meat.
I'm talking about my mother's meatballs. Hey, don't make fun of my high voice.
Sean Young, not to divert, but have you ever watched a lot of or any of her interviews on TV?
From the 90s stuff, yeah. Like, there's the one, the most infamous one is when she crashed Letterman. I don't know if it was a crash or if she was scheduled, but she showed up in her Catwoman, her homemade Catwoman outfit.
So I, too, thought it was in one of those night shows.
Yeah, I thought it was Letterman.
What I watched was the most...
Believe it or not, Joan Rivers, the daytime show she went on. She went on.
Maybe she just did the rounds.
Fully choreographed, fully, like, she knew where she was going to walk, talk, and then she had a whole monologue that she said, and then she kept repeating, he owes me because I fell off a horse and it was his fault, and I should have been in this movie. And that,
Tim Burton?
She was supposed to be, she was supposed to be in, I guess, Batman 1 as Vicki Vale.
Oh, really?
And, and then they kicked her out.
And that's why she was like, horse. And then that's why she's like, put me in the second one as Cat. Oh, wow. I did not know that.
And then she also went to the studios. Mm-hmm. Do you remember this?
I heard about that. She was a very aggressive in showing up at, like, producers' offices and studio lots and trying
and
to get attention.
She filmed it.
Did she? That I did not know. That
Do you know what
know.
I'm saying? Like, you're going to be crazy and make evidence of your crazy?
Thank God for people who do stuff like
thank
that.
Thank God for YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah, and for people to do
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. That's fantastic.
You're literally watching a house go on catch on fire.
Yeah.
Because she's thinking, this is going to be so compelling and so great, I'm going to then show the footage to the the lot. The executives will see, like, yes, this woman has to be in our movie. Look how compelling she is. And she was troubled. Just to say the least, Sean Young. Still is, I guess. I mean, the reason why she's not working. What was the last big movie she did? Ace Ventura?
Mm-hmm.
When she played the...
Now she is giving tours...
Finkel and Einhorn?
She's giving tours in Austin of famous locations where movies were filmed.
Really? Is she really?
In her car.
Really? I pay for that.
So would I.
I'd pay to be jerked around by Sean Young.
I would just cry. I would just hug her and be like, I failed. I know.
I'd be like, tell me all your stories.
Yeah, just talk
real
about
and
you.
Imaginary. Just give, and then when we're done, the tour is over. Can we go get some coffee? Can we go to Denny's?
Has anybody noticed?
Can I take you to Denny's?
Has anybody noticed how similar her nose is to Julia Roberts?
No,
it's very similar.
Or are you? What are you implying?
A very. Hey! That's gonna put it on the table. You cook it or not?
You put the pieces together.
You make the stew or not? I don't know.
Okay.
Is there any more Hollywood gossip?
No more. We're out of Hollywood rape gossip.
Oh.
The Hollywood rape gossip is over.
Oh.
So that means we're gonna start. We're gonna bring the wheels down on this one. Wait, did we do everything? Did we do Billy D's at the movies? I knew we were forgetting a segment.
Whoa! This is heavy. There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What? Ow! You metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, our most metal friend, Billy D, up in New York City, hits us up with Billy D's Death at the Movies, and Drew reads it. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
Thanksgiving through New Year's is insanely busy for me, so the post-mortem...
post-mortem...
We all have that. We're all going through that.
It's the cold weather.
Frowny face.
Speaking
of busy, my one day off yesterday was jam-packed. I saw The Shape of Water and then Ubered to the smallest room I've ever seen Converge play.
Nice!
It was absolute fucking mayhem. For the Orlando kids, the venue at St. Vitus is roughly the same size as the room in the Old Will's Pub.
Oh, it's just a back room.
Yeah. It was magical. The new album, The Dusk Is In Us, is full of mean cuts live, and Converge never fails to disappoint.
All right.
You know what else it isn't a disappointment?
What?
The Shape of Water.
What? The Shape of Water!
Finally, Del Toro has made an English language film that's as good as his Spanish films.
Okay.
This is cause for celebration. I really like this film. It felt to me like a sequel to a Black Lagoon movie where the creature is captured and taken to a lab. You could imagine a movie proceeding to where Michael Shannon is exploring the jungles and captures this creature, but Guillermo del Toro isn't interested in that movie. He's seen that movie. He wanted to tell a different story, one that is very layered and nuanced but very simple. It feels like a movie for the best way possible. Loved it. Even my girl loved it, and she hates fish. Back to work. Stay cool, Billy D.
All right, Billy D. Saw Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water. Loved it. Can't wait to see that movie. It's going to be at the MCN pretty soon.
But you don't like fish either, Chris.
I don't like fish.
Never heard of it.
It's, so Guillermo del Toro.
Is it like that underwater movie in the 90s where the liquid stands up and moves?
The Abyss?
The Abyss.
No, it's not.
The Shape of Water is The Abyss.
It's not. The Shape of Water is more like the creature from the Black Lagoon. And it's about
falls in love.
Yes, a lady who works in this facility where they have this creature. The government, shadowy government, has the creature. She falls in love with this creature,
And I guess it falls back in love with her.
Mm, sorts.
Wouldn't it be cool if she had the ability to, like, somehow inject herself and change into a monster to be with him?
Oh, you mean like Avatar?
Like, or District 9? He turns into a...
I like how you said that. Oh, you mean like Avatar?
Well, I mean, at this point in time, a lot of plots have already been taken.
They've all been taken. It's all been recycled, revamped,
and I mean, yeah, Avatar is just Dances with Wolves with big blue cat aliens.
The Shape of Water is just the creature from the Black Lagoon, but refurbished with some Michael Shannon acting. Mm. It actually really was. He was working on The Creature from the Black Lagoon, and then that fell apart, and then he just took that idea and made this movie.
Speaking of people in water, have they ever remade Splash?
No, but they made Splash 2. They are remaking it, and it's the one where they did the flippy flop.
And the man is the...
It's Channing Tatum. Yeah, he's the mermaid.
This is a movie for men. Yes. Women.
I think so. It's for the Magic Mike audience.
Yeah.
See, I read something too where they're like women's movies women go to, but men's movies men and women go to.
Yes, because they make more men's movies.
Because both sexes can go to it. If it's a woman's movie, men are not going to go to it.
I think it's because they make less women's movies. So if women want to see movies, it's just like black audiences. All right, well, a black movie, mostly black people are going to see it, but then, like, a, quote, normal movie, a Hollywood film that is a majority of white people,
everyone's
going to go see them.
Yeah.
And it's because of the lack of options. As a Puerto Rican, I got to go see all these movies with white heroes because those are my options. But then when a movie comes out that's, like, heavily Puerto Rican, like, Lin-Manuel, if he makes a movie, and then, like...
You mean when he makes a movie?
When he makes a movie, it's going to have a huge Puerto Rican support and audience-wise, because, oh, like, look, we finally got one. It's the same thing with women. So when there is a movie geared towards women, men can ignore it. They can choose to ignore it, because there's three other movies that came out that weekend that are all geared towards men, that type of thing. It's a privilege type of thing. You know, we're privileged to be men, to have so much art geared towards us.
There's a whole woman.
I agree.
They aren't being served, don't you think?
100%. And they love movies just as much as men.
Or if movie theaters or people who make movies think they're being served when they schlock out, you know.
And then they make crap.
The Notebook 3.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It should be better.
And I also thought, like, a woman's movie, another audience that's going to women's movies is gay men.
Yes.
Potentially.
Sex in the City.
Because, you know, I'm not going to stereotype, but a lot
Hey, Magic Mike was awesome. All right.
It was awesome.
You saw it?
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Steven Soderbergh.
It's a good movie.
It's Steven Soderbergh.
It's good.
It's actually quite good.
But gay men, what are you saying?
Just saying, like, you know, gay men sometimes don't like, some do, but some of us don't like the bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, sure.
Bang, bang, technology, bang, 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 bang. You know, sometimes we like, I don't know what we like, but something that's not that.
Like English Patient?
Like a movie that's has a lot of...
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying, like, you know, Peggy just moved to Manhattan. Can she handle her new job?
But where the emphasis isn't the action, but like I heard this description of a TV show was called Girl Porn, but Girl Porn meaning that, like, the production design was great. You know, like, a lot of the way they were dressed, the visuals of it, the way the set dressing. And
I felt I was served by, who's that famous director who, like, everything is designed?
Wes Anderson?
Yes. I mean, that is...
Yeah, everything.
Watching design.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. I love that.
Everything from their clothing to the way they move to the music. Yeah. Everything's curated.
I'm really looking forward to the Island of the Dogs.
The Isle of Dogs. Yeah. He has a stop motion animation one coming out where it's his, again, his style.
It's totally him. Like, the second you see it, you're like, it's fucking Wes Anderson.
Everything is designed within an inch of its life in his movies. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So is that something that you feel then... So, like, Rushmore or Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, movie like that would appeal to you more?
Well, it was more...
than, like, a Die Hard?
I don't really know what would appeal to me, but there are movies... Like, there's some biopics of celebrities.
Like what?
Can
you think of one? Come on, I'll put you on the spot.
LBJ is coming out, right?
Yeah, there's a couple of those actually. Yeah, there's two of them. There's a Bryan Cranston LBJ. Yeah.
I cannot stop watching Nixon documentaries, which has nothing to do with LBJ.
How about Nixon, Frost Nixon?
That was it.
I saw that.
That was quite good.
I saw that. Yeah. I don't know what that. I don't think that's gay, but no, but there's something about.
It's adult. It's adult.
Definitely adult.
Maybe literate.
It's just two dudes sitting in a room talking to each other
because of the drama.
Yeah,
it's almost like a play.
Yeah,
didn't Frost Nixon start as a play?
It was. It started off as a play.
Because it's just dudes sitting in a room talking to each other.
But I was thinking about this morning. It's like improv, you know, improv or theater. Nobody gives a hell. I was gonna say F. Nobody gives a hoot.
Well, you better censor yourself on this fucking show.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay,
nobody
gives a fuck if you're watching improv or theater.
True.
All you care about is this funny?
Is this entertaining me?
Right.
Yeah.
So. I mean, two people in a room can be just as entertaining as a $100 million movie, potentially. Well, I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
If you can market it correctly to the...
I mean, one of my favorite movies from a couple years ago was Tom Hardy in a car. That's all. It was Tom Hardy driving in a car, talking on the phone.
For 90 minutes.
For 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was fucking riveting.
And he's having phone calls with different people, handling problems, but you never cut to the other line. It's always
just
him.
Just him in the car driving.
So it's literally one person in the movie to having conversations with people.
That's
cool. Yeah,
but it was riveting.
A speakerphone, so you hear the other side, but it is riveting. Yeah, within 10 minutes, you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? And he's just like, driving. On a highway, English highway at night.
What's gonna happen?
So you don't even see scenery. It's at night.
Just I would like lights. To see that with Sean Young in the car.
Yes, there you go.
90 minutes of Sean with no script, just, and you know she could do it.
She could do it, but what, is it
would
watchable?
Not make sense.
Is it
it's
watchable?
Not watchable? Oh, yeah. It would be available on Netflix.
You might have another room situation on your hands here, where it's
the car.
Yeah, the car.
Someone should just give her like. Budget. Say we're going to take $20 million, and you're going to be able to make ten movies.
Okay, I was going to say $20 million is a lot of money.
You're going to be a movie.
She's going to make half a movie. I'm like, I need more money. I know you. That was not the plan. You're supposed to make many movies with this $20 million. You only made half of one. All right.
Sorry.
Mark. That's what the show's about. We're going to end this thing though, because it is time for. Where's my button?
We give you the questions.
All right.
You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Mark, here we go. Lightning round time. You did this the last time you were on. I'm going to give you 10 questions, and I need 10 answers as fast as you can give them to me. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, why all the babies?
People think that babies are required, but it's actually completely selfish. When you have hundreds and thousands of babies in, what do they call, foster homes and nursing homes,
how
dare you go and make your own? It's just like when people adopt purebred dogs. How dare you? There are thousands. And guess what? The spirit and the niceness of a purebred dog is just as similar to, or exact, the same.
Yeah.
The word is the same.
The same.
As a, you know, a mutt. How dare you?
How dare you?
It's
selfish.
Like, it's like spitting, it's like the homeless man. How if you pass by that homeless man to go decorate your Christmas tree, fuck you.
Number two. Is it all worth it?
Well, here's the thing. what I feel like this, we are all going to die, which we all know. But what I would like to see change is that we are told that when we're 5, 6, 7, 8. Can you imagine how much better our life would be?
Mm-hmm.
If you know it's going to happen, then you can accept it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's no longer this mystery, scary thing.
It's no longer a stressful thing.
It's a part of your life. Like we all, like I adopted cats and I've been thinking recently, my Christ, I love this cat. I love playing with it. I'm going to outlive it. I'm going to have to see it
hopefully,
die.
Hopefully,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, so like.
If all goes according to plan.
I know that.
You want to. You want to outlive the cat.
If you don't ever live with the cat, it means you're living like 20-something years.
Yeah, you got a problem.
So, since I know that it has a definite life, every day I'm like, I stare at it. Yeah. It's like on Golden Girls when the tall one, the burly one.
B. Arthur.
Robbie Arthur.
Yeah.
B. Arthur.
You be Arthur.
You be Arthur.
I be Arthur.
She would stare at her mom, and she would get really angry because. But she was like, "I want to remember you because you're gonna die soon."
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that.
But. So, not worth it then?
No, it's totally worth it.
Oh, totally worth it. Totally worth
within
it.
Within the context of the fact that you accept the death is going to happen.
Accept that it's going to happen. Okay, I get it. Number three. If Jesus wept, then who swept?
I feel like this is a Lin-Manuel
situation.
Poetry, jamatron.
This whole show is a poetry dram.
Say it again.
If Jesus wept, then who swept?
If Jesus swept, who swept?
Yeah.
No, if Jesus wept.
Yes.
But you could say Jesus swept, who swept? Jesus.
All right, number four. Robot wars are for blank.
Companies. The companies that build robots.
All right, that's what I thought too.
It's just like the military. The military is here for companies. The military. Not us. Industrial companies. Not for other countries. For companies.
Have you ever seen the movie Robot Jocks?
No.
You should see the movie Robot Jocks.
Well, it sounds like a movie I would have seen alone. You know,
so. Oh, was it a jocks part?
Yeah. Well, and the robot.
They do wear leotards at a couple of times. Number five.
I don't want to say. Unless it's a wrestling.
No, I'm. No.
Singlet.
It's a. No. It's a future situation. It's a robo future situation. Number five. Would you rather Harlem Shake or Cupid Shuffle?
I would prefer people to stop making fun of things like this. I think it's perfectly fine to be silly.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm asking. Yeah,
we mock the things, you know.
Who says this is mocking? We're mocking.
Macarena, we all, you know, you see it on the cruise ship.
Which one do you want to do?
Fuck you. Have fun.
Yeah.
Sit down.
So you're saying Harlem Shake?
Both. Oh, yeah.
That's a Harlem Shake. There's other Harlem Shakes. I don't have a Cupid Shuffle, but... Number six. Why are Groucho Marx's eyebrows in fashion with the ladies? I genuinely want to know, Mark, why.
Why are Groucho Marx... You mean, like, women like them or women are wearing them?
Like, they got the big old eyebrows now.
Yes. They're doing the Kardashian eyebrows incorrectly.
Is that what that is?
You know, it's like the women who are of your Latin culture.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm, they do the pencil eyebrows.
Yeah.
You know, that
way
is
too thin.
Not, it's not right.
It's unnatural.
But it's okay.
Just make it look
it's not okay.
Just make it look normal. Just give me normal eyebrows.
I mean, so now they have this thing I saw where you can, if you don't have enough eyebrows, you can get them tattooed on. They like cut lines.
It's called microblading.
Thank you. Yeah, they cut lines in your skin. They put the ink in, and I watched a person.
It looks
do
like
it. It
real looks, eyebrows. It's kind of creepy.
It's really real.
It's crazy.
And
it's
crazy. I say, go ahead. If it looks normal, you know.
Wow.
But really, women are. I will tell you this. I just went to New York City, and I saw no one finger waggle. With the Kardashian look. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Big lips and the brows and natural.
I think
no, and the highlighting. No one had that.
I feel like good. It's L.A. Right?
I feel like it's teenagers in a mall in middle America.
Doing what they see on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. You only see,
it's the hot topic.
Any grown woman is not doing that.
It's the... Claire's? No.
Claire's Boutique.
Claire's Boutique.
Yeah.
It's a Claire's look. Or Forever 21. Is that still around? I haven't been to a mall in forever. Number seven, we're still doing it. Palm trees or pine trees?
First of all, I could play this game forever because I love it.
It's a fun game.
The problem with palm trees is that they live too long. I mean, if you go to
that's
a
what makes
building.
Them great.
Can I finish?
I'm sorry.
Can I finish my thought? If like, say you have a building from the 50s or 60s. That palm tree you planted back then is still going to be there. And guess what? It's still going to be a tall stick. Are you bored?
No. No?
I thought I heard you say damn.
No?
No. He
all right, why don't we wrap it up? Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
No.
Why don't you like palm trees being around for a while? I think that makes sense.
Because they don't change. An oak tree for the same amount of time can give you shade and leaves, and they're beautiful. A palm tree does not give you anything.
Coconuts.
Not all of them.
You
not
ever walked in a parking lot where there's palm trees and collected a coconut? No. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm talking about palm trees in the context of parking lots in Orlando.
Fair
That's
enough.
The only place you see them.
Fair enough.
The rich people's backyards will have the palm trees with the coconuts.
Because they're buying the ones that have the coconuts.
Yeah.
On. Okay. Fair enough. I got.
Was it pine trees? Pine trees?
Or pine trees.
No, pine trees are just as bad. Because they're tall, they live for 100 years, they're just a tall stick, they don't give you that much shade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Squirrels
yeah.
love it.
Turn them into Christmas trees.
Oh, I forgot Christmas trees are pine trees. I thought those ugly, tall, with the bark that peel off.
No, yeah, no, it's definitely pine trees. So, are we coming down on pine trees then, or palm tree?
Do I have to choose?
No.
Pine tree.
Okay, number 8. What is your favorite kind of cookie?
Cookie.
What is your favorite kind of cookie?
Can I tell you that there are donuts at Dunkin' Donuts now that are flavored as cookies?
Like what? Wait, like Oreo flavored donuts?
I'm going to make this.
Chips Ahoy?
He's about Snickerdoodle. To fall asleep.
That's just the way he is. That's
I'm going to walk out of the room.
That's who he is. No. That's just the type of guy he is. He's getting ready to present you with prizes.
Yeah, seriously.
Fuck yeah, bitch.
We still got shit to do.
They've got like... they've got these cookie flavored donuts that are like, you know, palm tree cookie donuts. Shut up.
Really?
Shut up. It's a donut.
Okay.
Shut up. Give me like, you know, mint donut or whatever your holiday. So what type of cookie?
What type of is your favorite type of cookie? Could be brand, could be type.
Not the ones that first you have to say what you don't want to do, and then you can figure out what you do want to do with your life.
Okay.
So I do not like the crispy cookies at Subway.
Mm-hmm.
I would like a moist cookie.
Okay.
That has the peanut butter cups and chocolate chips. Ooh. Starbucks.
Starbucks
has them.
Do they really?
And they'll heat them up for you. And you can eat them really fast. And you know, you just feel bad afterwards.
That sounds good, though.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm on board for that. Number 9, should the kids watch Seinfeld?
Yes.
And number 10, how was your timeline?
That's such a good question.
It's a deep question, yes. How was your timeline?
How was your timeline?
It's a little crooked.
Wait, are we talking about Facebook? Facebook?
We'll talk about whatever,
whatever you want, man.
I'm thinking about Facebook.
Okay.
I've gotten more natural. When I first was on Facebook, I was like, this is a branding tool. So everything I say is going to be positive. Oh, hey, this is great. What a great idea.
Life is great.
Now I'm like, I'm going to be dead soon. So why don't I put what I feel
and then
I can go back. I thought about this. I said to myself, I took a video on Instagram of my face. And you might go, what the fuck are you doing? But I've experienced this. Like, in 10 years, in 5 years, I will look back on that video and go, my God, I look so young.
Like, look how young, yes. Yeah.
Right now, I feel like, oh, I look so old.
When I was 20,
bitch, in 5 years,
I felt so fat. I was like, look how fat I am. And then I look at a picture of myself from when I was 20. Like, look how fat I am. I was a thin guy when I was 20. Look how fat I am now. Yeah. 10 years from now, I'm like, oh, look at that that handsome mid-30-year-old dude. Right? Exactly. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I dig what you're saying.
It's perspective.
I dig what you're saying, perspective. It's all about perspective, Drew.
I understand.
Do you, though?
I do.
I don't know about that much. I really don't. Now you see what I'm dealing with on a week-to-week basis?
There is a charm.
It's all over soon enough, Chris.
There is a charm, I will admit.
Yeah.
You have to take the good with the bad.
It's all over soon enough.
It's hard to get to it, though.
One more thing, if anyone's listening. Really, all that matters is Mariah Carey is skinny.
She is.
What? How did that? What?
Bypass.
How did that happen?
She had surgery.
Oh, of course.
As long as she takes care of the loose skin, that's all. Let's take care of that loose skin, and I'm on board. I am back on board. Drew, swag baggery. Yes. Break out the bags. Here we go. Mark, green bag, red bag. Which one do you maybe want to go home with today?
Red.
Red bag. Here we go. Perfect for Christmas.
Christmas.
Drew.
Sir, you may get to go home with a copy of Stuck With Green Songs Dad Won't Let Me Sing.
It's a CD of music.
It's a CD of music. I don't know what kind of... I don't know what...
I think it's jokey. What's comedy.
Stuck With Green?
Stuck With Green is a musical artist.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got some blue mouth candy. Trick your friends and make their mouth blue.
All right, make your boyfriend's mouth blue.
Queen.
We've got a 24-piece puzzle in a tube from Cars 3.
What was that joke about white people, that white people go buy puzzles in puzzle stores? Basically, they want to go buy a problem.
Really?
Some black stand-up.
That's very funny.
Oh, we've got 6 clear balloons that are filled with confetti.
All right.
Are they filled with confetti or are they...
No, they're filled with confetti.
Okay.
Because it's a choking hazard.
Couldn't you just inhale all the confetti?
Be careful when
That's
you blow
why
up.
It's a choking hazard.
Be very careful.
Oh, we've got a 3-pack of Pokemon Sun and Moon trading cards.
I know you're a huge Pokemon card
fan. Let's kill them.
We've got
kill them all.
Cinema Crespo Diso bootleg copies of the Bad News Bears, Ballistics, X versus Sever, and La Bamba, along with a bunch of stickers from PFT Media and our friends.
Look at that. Look at all that stuff.
La Bamba?
Yeah. La Bamba.
My mom loved that movie.
There you go. With the,
and I loved
with
it,
Lou
too.
Lou Diamond Phillips, yeah.
Lou Diamond Phillips. And I did not like the boyfriend of the girl because he kept beating
her. Yeah, he was a total Jacob, that son of a bitch.
Well, he was Latin.
Well, but like Twilight, he was an interloper. Yeah. All right, Mark, you can take that bag home, or we put the bag away and take what we have inside the box that we have right over here that Drew has in his hand. I'm going to hit my button. Here we go.
When do I decide?
Whenever you want to.
When the drop finishes.
Oh, there's a drop.
Right, yes, and right now. Here we go.
Oh, red bag.
We're going with the red bag. All right, here we go. Red bag. Put that box away. All right, as we said, red bag. You're taking the bag?
Yeah. Look at this shit.
All right. Drew's peeking inside the box.
Oh, he's finding the good stuff. It's empty. It's literally empty.
No.
It was empty. It was
last week.
It was
last
empty
week
last
it
week.
Was. Yes.
It was empty last week.
Wait, you open the box, you don't tell me what's in it?
No, that's how it works.
You don't get to see. We put the box away forever.
Fuck this shit. Then give me the box, bitch.
No, it's too late.
Give me the fucking box.
No, it's too late. It's too late.
You took the bag.
Suck it.
Then we're going to take that box. We have a wood chipper out back. We're going to throw the box chipper. With the contents and all, we're throwing it to the wood chipper. That's what we do.
I need to know, like, if it's like, going to be glass or anything, so if I need to wear safety goggles, we're going to throw it to the wood chipper.
An aerosol can.
Exactly.
We've had that problem in the past.
So, in all reality, it doesn't matter what's in the box. No. I just need to make sure that it's safe
being destroyed.
To
Drew, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Mark, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you for having me.
That was fantastic. You're the man. That was great.
Bring
back Sean Young. Enjoy our new project, Dinosaurs on Mars, coming out soon. And remember, break up the big banks, bigs into each other. Ratings and reviews on iTunes, 5 stars. Free Mumia Abu Jamal. And check me out doing trivia at the Oblivion Tap Room. Peace.
A PFT Media production.